Okay, now I'm recording.
Hey!
Now I'm recording.
Hey!
Now I'm recording.
External genital warts.
What the f*** is going on down there?
T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T- 2014, and I'm joined by Seth Buzzard.
Heyo!
So, I got all busy again, unexpectedly, this last week, because I'm in Canada, and I happened to cross movie toys and thought I should make videos for them. So, continuing with a straight solid record of having something eat up all my spare time at the start of every single week. We'll see what's going to happen next week. I will win the lottery. That's what I'd like to have happen.
Oh, God. So, if I won the lottery, so many people could kiss my ass.
Would you pay them each a visit?
That'd be part of your spending. I would wait for them to come, hat in hand.
Oh.
Looking for a slice, and then they could just kiss my ass.
Hey, I saw you won $3 million. You think I could have maybe 300 of that?
Kiss my ass.
Oh. I don't know what I'd do if I won the lottery.
Friggin' enjoy your life.
I'd pay my student debt immediately. Just, it's like, hey, listen, don't darken my door ever again. Here.
Well, I love when you see, they have a lottery winner on the news, and then some dopey reporter always asks, the one question, which is so are you going to keep your job? And that's the dumbest question that anybody could ask. And if that ever happened, I just want to win the lottery so some dumb reporter asked me that question. And then just so I could lay into him. Be like, are you nuts?
Are you going to keep your job?
Are you nuts?
Mr. Buzzard?
Are you nuts?
No.
All right, I want here. Let me ask you something.
All right.
This is a different topic. So I go into a fast food place on the way home because I got off work very late today.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to get something in my stomach before we started recording.
Yeah.
Fast food is terrible. It's rotten. You shouldn't eat it, kids.
Yeah, I did that today too. I stopped by the McD's on the way home.
Yeah, I went to a McDonald's also.
Oh, why did we do that?
I should have gone to Burger King. I'll tell you why I went to McDonald's. Because I've become re-hooked on Street Passes on the Nintendo 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
And McDonald's, Starbucks, Home Depot's are Spot Pass locations. So you'll get Street Passes at those places, whether those people are there or not.
Mm.
So I'm guaranteed at least a few Street Passes just going into McDonald's. So that was my choice. McDonald's or Burger King. I'll get Street Passes. I'll go to McDonald's. So when you are ordering at a fast food establishment, you walk up to the counter and there's the half-wit standing behind the counter. Not everybody is a half-wit. In my case, it was a half-wit.
Of course.
And you order by number. If you say, let me get a number 4. What is your assumption ordering by number is?
Combo number 4 would be my assumption.
Not to this guy.
Oh, good.
So I said, yeah, let me get a number 4 and a barbecue cheeseburger because those are $1. And no onions. And he goes, okay, cool. And then he didn't ask me what I wanted in my drink. And I thought, well, maybe this guy's new. And when my order's done, then he's going to ask. But in the meantime, I'm going to stand off to the side, and I'm going to reply to this text message. Then the woman goes, did you have the 2 hamburgers only? And I said, no, I had a number 4 and a hamburger, an extra hamburger. And she goes, let's look at the receipt. She goes, no, you just ordered a Whopper and the barbecue cheeseburger. And I said, I thought I ordered a number 4. And they go, well, that a number 4 is a quarter pounder. And I said, yeah, the meal. And the guy goes, oh, I thought you just meant you wanted the sandwich because you didn't say you also wanted fries and a drink. And I said, dude, that's never been the case. That's never been the case, dude. That's never, never. If you want just the sandwich, you have to say, yeah, give me a quarter pounder. And then they go, the meal? And then you go, no, the sandwich. Not, give me a number four, and I mean the meal. That's never happened.
Maybe
so they're like, well, do you want the drink and the fries? We'll make them. I said, dude, I don't have time. I don't have time. This is nuts. I can't deal with this. And I left.
Maybe he's looking out for your health. Maybe he's the one man in fast food who wants to undersell rather than oversell.
I don't know. It was like, what? I was like, you know what? I don't need the drink. I don't need the fries. And I don't need to be here anymore. And I don't need to be talking to this halfwit.
I've never in my life heard of someone underselling at McDonald's. Like, assuming the least. And no, not you trying have to upsell.
For years. Years. If you want just the sandwich, you have to specify just the sandwich. The assumption is you want the meal.
Yeah. Well, you know who's not going to be a sponsor of this podcast? McDonald's. That's who's not.
Does Mirai Baby still work at McDonald's?
Yeah, but, you know, she's our insider.
She needs to find out what's going on.
To class up that place is what she needs to do.
She's our contact on the inside. Yeah. She needs to get in there, crack some heads.
What's going on over there?
Investigate.
I found out, I was talking to Kryn the other day, because we were reminiscing about how excited I was when I found out what the names of the McNugget shapes are.
And I didn't even know they had names. I did not know that.
McDonald's Canada made a video in response to the pictures of the big pile of pink sludge.
That stuff's disgusting.
So McDonald's Canada said, that's not us, and they showed how McNuggets are made. And they're like, you see how we're not using any pink slush? And they showed, like, the whole conveyor. I thought it was kind of cool. And while they were showing that, they revealed that there are four different McNugget shapes that all start with a B. And I always forget all of them. But I thought the two of them were the boot and the bow tie. And it turns out there is no McNugget called the bow tie. So somehow my mind fabricated, after seeing this video, that there's a bow tie-shaped chicken McNugget. There isn't. It's the boot, the something, the something, the something. You can look up the video. But apparently, at least in Canada, we don't use the pink sludge.
Well, so, you're lucky.
Well, go Canada.
So, British television chef Jamie Oliver,
mm-hmm.
That's his name, right?
I think.
So, he did that show in the UK about fast food being awful, where he gets, like, a bunch of kids together, and they're like, chicken nuggets are the bomb! And he goes, well, let me show you how they make it. And this was before, like, the video of the pink slime extruding out of the machine.
Yeah.
And he would, like, take all the scrap bits of chicken that McDonald's would use, put it in a blender, create his own pink slime. And then, like, so I saw this clip, and the British children are horrified. And they want nothing to do with chicken nuggets after that. Jamie Oliver says, I'm going to America. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to help America. So I see that clip. Little American children. Chicken nuggets are the bomb. He goes, check it out. Blender, pink slime. What do you think of that? And then the kids are like, I don't know. They're still pretty good. Do you got any? And then
you going to cook that up?
Yeah. And then Jamie Oliver looks horrified. And I watch the video and I feel embarrassed. And then I think to myself, thanks for trying. We are a lost cause.
I was actually really astounded at how much whole chicken is involved in Canadian McNugget production.
Man, if I ever get back to Canada, maybe I should try some chicken nuggets.
And they showed what the breading is, and I should have thought this. The breading is primarily tempura breading. That's why it's so crispy and thin.
Huh.
I was like, hey, that makes sense. Because they showed they fry them up as part of the manufacturing process and then freeze them. So also, if you ever wanted to know that, no, they are not made fresh. They are frozen and then reheated.
Well, spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
That's everything at a McDonald's or Burger King or anywhere that doesn't make stuff fresh to order, like Five Guys or In-N-Out.
I'm delivering this with maximum solemnity here, so y'all know I'm being serious. I actually wanted to talk quickly about something crazy that's been going on. It's weird piece of news, but it's kind of, we don't often get like straight up strife on a company level in our fandom. Oh. Seth, I don't know if you've been keeping up with this, but
no, I haven't. I'm getting excited though. Lay it on me.
Yeah, I'm going to lay this out, and I'm going to say, like, I got no stake in any of this. I'm actually working on a review of the toy in question. That's going to be awkward to post after all this heat's been dumping on it, but last couple days it's just been a mess watching a bunch of retailers who are selling Warbotron, the third party Bruticus that's going on. So a bunch of retailers basically have straight up said, all right, we're not selling it, we're gonna refund your pre-orders, we're not selling it, because
online retailers.
Yeah, online retailers.
Okay.
Because they said they're not, that they were told, or there's a lot of posts, and I do not have a timeline for anyone. I'm sorry, I've been asked this actually a couple times, but a number of retailers have shared their communications to some degree, be it paraphrased or whatnot, and they basically said that they thought they were getting stock in March, and then discovered that they were not, and that they would be getting stock 90 days later. And this is like every other retailer. The one retailer who does have stock is Big Bad Toy Store. So this started a swarm of talk, because it looked like Big Bad Toy Store had bought all the stock, and that somewhere there was a bad piece of communication. so a whole bunch of retailers had been hyping up this thing, and then they couldn't actually sell it. One of them said that they were straight up told something about a 90-day monopoly on North American release. One of the problems of all this is Warbotron are not an English first language company, and some of their communications suffer for that. And it's not, it's no fault of theirs. You know, they're a Chinese company operating out of China. I'm not going to start going like, why don't y'all speak God's American English?
I will.
If you want to. You have the floor for a moment if you wish to.
No, I'm good. You
hold it. Okay. All right.
I'm okay.
So Joel of Big Bad Toy Store actually posted on TFW about the situation, and I'm paraphrasing everything. I'm not going to read this stuff verbatim because it's long, and if you want to read it, you know, by all means, go look it up. The Warbotron thread, thankfully, Super Quad 7 did a massive cleanup job on it this morning, because it had gone to places of debate such as racial injustices and things, and I was like, all right, what is this thread? But Joel basically said that when the Warbotron things first came up, Big Bad Toy Store more or less funded the production of the figures by putting a lot of money up front. And one could probably surmise that that then led to their exclusivity situation in terms of being the only place to get it for the first 90 days. And this was really interesting for me to watch, because this felt like the kind of business ideas and tactics that would take place on, you know, a much larger level being applied to an independent toy, which is in a much tinier marketplace. It's a niche in a niche. And so if this had happened with, like, you know, something that was sold worldwide in big box retail stores, no one would think anything of it. But with it all happening amongst just a bunch of, you know, online retailers who all talk about stuff because they can, who sell to a marketplace that numbers maybe in the 10,000s tops, this is really interesting, because this is basically like forced transparency. And a lot of people came out of this kind of sour and not happy about just the whole situation in general. I am just thinking to myself, if there was any kind of exclusivity thing happening, like, this kind of business just doesn't work on this scale, and this is, I think, kind of a dumb idea. But yeah, this was the big noise this week, and it's calmed down now. You know, I'd encourage, if anyone, you know, wants to come in the thread, please be civil about it. Don't be like the Warbotron thread, which was like, it felt like, I don't know, moments before some famous riot. Like, I was just waiting for, like, one man in the crowd to pull out a revolver and fire it in the sky before someone took a baseball bat to somebody's head. That was kind of the tone of the thread for a little while. But yeah, like, contracted exclusivity, you know, store becoming an investor in an independent toy project, somewhat under the table, if not at least in a way that wasn't stated until people were throwing rocks at each other over it. It's been interesting to watch. Seth, this all happened over there. where you weren't looking. How does it feel to know there was a riot going on next door?
Oh, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed it. No, but, I mean, it doesn't really sound like BBTS did anything wrong. I mean, if they fronted the money, then it's not crazy to think that they would get something out of it.
Yeah, it's one, I mean, of those...
It's like a time-exclusive video game. Like, if Sony says, we want this game for PlayStation for X number of months, how much money do we have to give you, the game maker, to make that worth your while? And then they say X amount of money, and then Sony gives it to them. Then that's a bummer for the Xbox people, but then you wait, and then you eventually get your version, too. And same thing around. Microsoft does it plenty.
Yeah, and that kind of business on, like, a video game scale, I think, is fine. It's when you put it into just the number scale of what, you know, your third-party combiner toy is. I just think, like, setting up a deal like that is an interesting idea, but to me it feels like a whole lot of wasted effort. Like, everyone is so in tune with every piece of the workings of nearly every one of these toys that comes out that there's no way to pull off that kind of thing without it striking someone, like, real dirty on, like, a more personal level, I think, than when you just look at the big companies and you change the S's in their names to dollar signs.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little... Like, I agree. It does seem like a lot of work for a relatively small amount of payoff in Big Bad's side. And it's not something that seems that common amongst online retailers.
Mm.
But, like, Entertainment Earth has had plenty of Entertainment Earth exclusive stuff in the past.
Oh, yeah, and Hasbro
and I'm
has...
I'm sure they will in the future.
Hasbro has included Big Bad on some exclusive Transformers items and G.I. Joe items, I believe.
Yeah, well, like, there's been shared exclusives, but I don't know if those have been Big Bad only.
It's usually been Big Bad Toys R Us for the last few years, I want to say. But,
So, it is on a different scale, and it's not something that the toy collector community is necessarily used to. But, I don't know, I just don't see it as something to get that mad at Big Bad about. I think there's still, like, some raw nerves over the Toon Titan thing.
Mm, oh, definitely.
Falling apart. So, I mean, I think Big Bad's maybe walking a little close to the line right now. Like, this is, like, two kind of PR blowouts for them in a relatively short amount of time.
And over almost the same topic.
Yeah, so... I don't know, maybe it would be a good idea for Joel to sort of back off third-party stuff for a little bit.
Or at least the exclusivity thing. Like,
yeah.
Because to me, here's the last thing that makes me sit here thinking, like, this doesn't seem to me like a very good idea, is, you know, exclusivity, that involves the signing of a contract, right? Like, you know, yeah. you agree you're not going to blah, blah, blah. Because if there wasn't a signed contract, you know, Warbitron ideally could just up and say, okay, well, fine, we'll send more to these guys, because what are you going to do? So I would assume there was a signed piece of legal paper. Now, at the end of the day, these are also IP-infringing items. So when you have legal paper signed over the creation and manufacturing and sale of an item that is an IP infringement on a much larger company, I feel like it's a recipe for disaster. It's like... taking a glass house and replacing all the parts that aren't glass with more glass. Like, it makes the situation feel a lot more fragile when I think about the fact that what if Warbitron backs out of some kind of contractual thing, Big Bad tries to start something over it, and then the courts say, wait, whose IP is this? And then, you know, everything explodes.
Well, I don't even think it would make it to court. I think, like, Warbitron would try to screw... Big Bad would complain. Warbitron would be like, whatever. And then it would be over because Joel isn't crazy enough to think that he has any sort of legal claim on anything through courts.
And that's just why I find this whole situation, when I think about that very detail, like, just...
It might not even be, like, on paper. It could have just been, like, an agreement.
I guess, but... I don't know. There's, because, you know, I'm not trying to, like, we have a large number of sponsored stores lining the top of TFW 2005. It's not like, you know, a third, like, if one of these third-party companies, like, backs away from one, what if these, like, I mean, there are companies that won't sell through Robot Kingdom. Fans Project Make Toys and MMC don't go through Robot Kingdom anymore. And, you know, it's just, the whole thing just feels so shaky to me. And I think that big business risks being taken on small-scale indie projects like this, it's not solid enough yet, and I think should probably be stepped away from for a little while, because it's just making the customer base as well just feel so sour, and those threads are they become so ugly, feelings get so hurt. So that was a thing that happened. Yeah. I'm also working on a review of Warbitron's Airburst, which was passed along to me by Big Bad Toy Store, so that review is going to be an interesting thing to post after all this went down.
I say whatever.
Yeah, but, I'm going to review the toy. That's what I'm doing.
Like, you know, it is, because of how people are reacting and getting upset, it is bad PR for Big Bad. Personally, I don't think they really did anything that awful.
Yeah.
Maybe, well, the result was not desirable, but, you know, it's a business. They're running a business, and they're doing business stuff, and sometimes businesses don't do things you like.
And that's another thing about the scale of all this, is a lot of these online retailers, they're partly a business to a lot of these collectors, but in the case of many, like Captured Prey being an easy example, they're also, you know, personalities, people who interact in the community. And I think that's where, that's another, you know, element getting mixed in with a practice that, you know, like you said, that if it happened in the video game industry, if Microsoft did something, no one's going to feel personally slighted by the corporation Microsoft. But, you know, a lot of people look at these stores not so much as Big Bad, TF Source, and Captured Prey, for instance, but as, like, Orson, Joel, and I always forget the name of the TF Source guy. I'll just say Doug for now. That's not his name.
Tito.
I almost want to say it was Tony, but it's not Tony. Because I haven't talked to him very much. So
I'm in the same boat. Like, if somebody said it right now, I'd be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I have a very clear picture in my head of his face.
Yeah.
I can pick him out in a lineup right now.
Yeah.
I can't tell you his name.
when someone says it in this thread to correct my lack of knowing it, I'm going to feel like an idiot when I see it.
It's Kurt.
I'll be like, oh, of course it's that. Damn it.
Kurt.
Anyway, if I was going to pass one little bit of advice along just to the listener who's coming out from all this, who might not have known about this and is like, oh, should I be worried? Don't be worried. And if you got kind of wrapped up in this, you know, it sucks, but it's kind of a cold reality that they are going to be businesses sometimes more than they are going to be the people running those businesses. And don't feel bad if you're going to a place that's been embroiled in one of these things, because I said this on Twitter to someone, I don't know a single person who's actually going to get judgy on you because you bought a toy from a place. People will make personal decisions not to support stores anymore, but they're not going to go out going like, hey, you better not be buying that from KB Toys. You don't know what they did to me. You know? So,
I think there's some of those people out there.
Well, I don't know any of them, so maybe I'm just happy to not know. If you're one of those people, you know what, you got your passions and whatnot, but let's tone it back a little bit. That's something that happened. That's some of the news. Let's go on to another piece of news. We got some TFCon news. Seth.
Hi.
Do you know who Susan Blue is?
I've heard that name.
Did you know she's going to be at TFCon in Toronto this summer?
That's pretty rad.
She's also going to be at BotCon. She's doing double convention duty.
You could get a lot of Sue Blue in your life this year.
You could. I think that's kind of awesome for a lot of the folks who are not able to make it to BotCon, because I think she's probably the headliner guest at BotCon.
Now, a while back,
mm-hmm.
Not a super long time ago, less than a year, a few months, we had a news story about a couple of voice actors getting married.
Yes.
Including Sue Blue. So she's fairly freshly married. And now she's, like, traveling around all over the place going to conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a married person.
Yep.
You get married, then you're like, I gotta
I gotta start moving. I got
this job that takes me out of town.
All my alone time, where to go?
I gotta go. I'll be right back. It's cool.
No, Transformers convention.
No, you don't want to come. It's all these sweaty nerds.
Full of nerds.
You don't want to go anywhere near these nerds. Canada too. Like, Pasadena.
But yeah, she's coming out to see shows. So that's pretty badass. I don't think she's been to one of these shows since the 90s. If I recall correctly.
Well, she wasn't married in the 90s.
It's true. Wow, it all is making sense to me now. So I'm excited about this because she's not only a voice actor, but she's also a voice director. Voice director on Transformers Animated. Just calling up my mental Wikipedia there.
Right.
And a voice actor in Transformers Animated. I think this is a pretty good get for both shows, and a super good get for TFCon. TFCon has a sweet looking guest list right now because they reiterated a bunch on the front page because, you know, they're going to. But they've also got Gary Chalk, Aaron Archer, and Sarah Stone on the way in. So I'm looking forward to that run. Sarah Stone being the artist and colorist on the Transformers Windblade miniseries, which I believe the first issue is coming out next week, if I saw Twitter right.
The artist?
She's the artist and colorist.
Right. You were perving on her pretty hard on that last Even episode, I heard.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, it happens.
Aaron tried to get all smart mouth on me, but, you know, whatever. It's cool.
Huh?
Never mind.
I don't even know what just happened for the last few seconds.
Try to tease.
Oh.
It's okay.
Oh, you're teasing.
It's fine. Whatever.
Oh.
I'm not retaliating. I don't need to retaliate.
Well, I didn't think you were retaliating.
Well, I don't need to, so it's fine.
Yeah. No, that's excellent, because if you were, I'd probably say something about it. But you're not.
I'm good. It's all good.
All right. Well, Susan Blue is on her way to two Transformers conventions, arguably the two biggest Transformers conventions
And I'm not going to either of them. Ha!
You don't need Sue Blue in your life.
She seems awesome, though.
Yeah. She seems like a cool person.
I've heard, she sounds like she's really cool.
And she super duper likes RC. She thinks RC is the best.
Well,
not just because she voiced her, but she's all, like, super into the RC character, and she's all, like...
Okay.
You know, she's,
so there's more reasons than just...
Yeah, not just because she was the voice of. No, she's... I think it might be... I want to say she was on the commentary track for the 20th anniversary edition of the 86 movie, where some of that comes out, where she's all, like, she has, like, theories on RC's. Not even theories, I think she straight up believes on RC's, like, mother relationship with Daniel and et cetera, so...
She's writing fan fiction.
Yep. She's RC's biggest fan. Also, that news item, the front page item for that always throws me off, because that particular image of RC is what my mom uses as an icon on Facebook. And so I thought my mom posted on TFW.
Is your mom Sue Blue?
No. But my mom thinks Sue Blue is the coolest person, because my mom thinks RC is the coolest Transformer.
Ah.
So when I
was confused, and I just assumed that Sue Blue thought RC was rad because she was the voice of RC, then it made me think, like, how funny it would be if Peter Cullen came out and was just like, you know, Optimus Prime is kind of a blowhard.
He starts trashing on Optimus Prime.
He only talks in, like, these big heroic statements. Like, he's really pretentious like that.
Not a very deep character, really. I always tell the writers, you know, give me something to work with, and, well, that'd be fun. That'd be a fun panel. That'd be recordable. Let's move on to some new picture picks, Seth.
Hi.
And your new picture pick comes from an off-site location, because it hasn't been front-paged, so I'm linking to the Big Bad Toy Store item page, and oh, no!
You mean everyone's best friend.
Controversy returns! No!
Controversy! Of all the mispronounced words, or like British pronunciation of words.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite is controversy.
Once I heard controversy, I think it was during a university class. I had a lecturer who would say that instead of controversy. Yeah. I was like, that sounds 100 times cooler than controversy. I'm now forever saying controversy.
Yeah, like I find myself saying it constantly.
Queen's English.
Yeah, but like, you know, still aluminum, I think, is way better than aluminium.
Aluminium is entirely to troll the Americans. That's what it's for.
Yeah, I would imagine. Anyway, controversy is, that's a good one. Anyway,
yeah.
Big Bad Toy Store, I got an email from this morning, pre-order alert, because, you know, it's been 5 minutes, I haven't gotten one of those yet.
Hey, have you ever bought toys?
Hey, if we're going to get upset about Big Bad over everything, over anything, let's push Joel in a corner and tell him about this spam email crazy bananas.
Seth, I can't help but notice you once ordered a toy that had legs and arms.
Yeah.
Well,
I can't help but notice you were foolish enough to give us your email address.
Well, this week we had about 50 new items with arms and legs come into the store, and I'd like to tell you all about them.
Anyway, so I get this email, and it's like, all this new third-party stuff. And I was like, all right, well, let's see. And a lot of it's like, you know, bits and pieces, like upgrade parts. Like, here's some hands for your Masterpiece Prime and a gun. And whatever. But X-Transbots, makers of such fine third-party unofficial products as a Bruticus upgrade kit. And Crank and Stacks, I got those.
Yeah.
They made those.
Sounds like you liked them a little bit more than Huff.
What
was the impression I got?
Well, I was really bummed out with how loose Huff's hips were.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I was more impressed with what they did with Huff.
Oh, so like the long game on Huff was a little bit better, you thought?
Yeah, like Huff has more sculpted in detail.
Mm.
I think it just looks more interesting. I did appreciate Crank and Stacks. They feel more solid. They feel more, or I think they're like on a level of, like their transformation is on a level of like better Hasbro stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where Huff is like beyond what you would get from Hasbro.
Okay.
But being like their first figure, there's a couple like tolerance issues, and like some people have gotten hips that were fine, but that Huff does like some neat stuff where like there's panels that flip out to cover like gaps and holes to just make it look more solid and look more interesting. I think Huff looks better next to Masterpiece figures than Crank and Stacks do.
Okay. I still haven't handled either of them, so I just keep pestering people I know who have them.
Yeah, I mean, they both do things really well and get different results. So it's really, like, if you put me on the spot and was like, which one's better? I'd be like, well, this one is better this way, and that one's better that way, and I'm not giving you a definitive answer. You need to figure that out on your own.
That's my answer to a lot of a certain kind of question I get.
Right. So, X-Transbots has two new figures coming. Ollie and Sonic.
Ollie
kind of looks like a character from Transformers named Wheelie.
You're crazy.
I know, it's nuts. Sonic kind of looks like a character from the GoBots, what is known as Turbo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sonic's vehicle mode does not look like Turbo.
The windshield is kind of the same shape.
Kinda-ish. And also, kinda. It's red.
Mm-hmm.
But the robot mode, at least from this picture, which appears to be like CGI, mock-up CGI.
Yeah.
The robot mode looks great.
Yeah.
There was very quickly identified it as, is that Turbo?
Yeah, a picture of this came out some time ago, and then there was just silence. And then this, I think, for at least a couple months. And I was curious what was going to happen with this guy.
Yeah. So, I started getting really tempted. Because, like, with Crank and Stax, I mean, they felt solid. So, I believe X-Transbots could do some quality product. But I don't know. At $105 for the two, I don't know if I care about these two characters enough.
Mm-hmm.
Especially once Sonic is like a space car and not like a really Earth-looking car.
Yeah.
And then I just don't know how much I care about Ollie.
Yeah, I wish I could just order Sonic. According to the product page, they're being sold to retailers as a set right now.
Yeah.
So I can see that side of it easily.
I'm going to want to wait and see before I really, really decide, like, actual product photos.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they'll put out some pictures at some point next to a Crank. So I have, like, a better size, something to judge the size on a little better. Because if they're, like, Crank and Stack size, then that price starts getting, seeming better. Because Crank and Stacks are pretty hefty figures.
And if we divide this price in half, is that approximately what they cost? I can't quite remember anymore if they were 60 or 70.
Here, let me click back.
It was a while.
Big Bad has them listed at $130 for the set.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little cheaper. So yeah, I'd like to see a better view of what their size is, and then actual production pictures before I jump in, just because they're characters that I'm not that stoked on, although Sonic's robot mode looks great. I'm more into Sonic than I am Ollie.
Oh, I could be sold this, and I could, like, Ollie could fall off the mail truck, and I probably wouldn't notice until like a month later when I'm like, wait, didn't I buy two toys?
Yeah, and it's not like Wheelie's lame. Boo. It's I'm not coming at it from that angle.
Oh no, me neither.
It just Sonic looks more interesting, and, you know, where else are you getting a new Turbo figure?
Well, that's what I'm so much more interested right now from these independent companies are, like, where you've got some of them doing GoBots, and then you've got Keith's Fantasy Club doing Sencho Barbosa from Brave, Captain Shark. Sencho, yeah. Barbosa being, like, the best renaming of Captain Shark I've ever heard. And it just interests me so much more because it's, it should be clear at this point. I'm not against IP infringing Transformers characters, toys in this whole scene, but seeing these companies, you know, if they can't stretch out into original characters, if they stretch out into stuff that's like Transformers, like GoBots and Brave, I just find that really interesting.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, speaking of Sencho Barbosa. Big Bad put those up. Like, that was part of, like, the, here's 11 third-party things.
Yeah.
And those sharks were. So they have Barbosa in a set of two, as part of a set of three, and as an individual. As an individual, it's $90. And I was just like,
That's the same price as the Perceptors they've been doing, I want to say.
I'm more excited about that name than I am about that figure.
So I want that figure because it's Captain Shark, but twice now, Sencho Barbosa and Citizen Stack are two names that are so good that yeah. They make me more interested in the toys, almost as those characters.
Yeah, I could, like, yeah, I dig that sentiment, but $90 is a lot to pay for a cool name.
and if you get these bundles... A two-pack saves you $5. The three-pack saves you $10, I believe, on each one.
And you're foolish not to buy.
Well, the thing is, one of these haiku is Skybite, and we've got a Voyager-ass Voyager Skybite coming. Yeah. And that said, Tsunami is Energon Sharktacon. I am so into that. And if there was a two-pack of Sencho Barbossa and Tsunami, I'd order that two-pack, but I don't actually want Haiku, so I'm stuck, because I'm like, I don't really want to pay 90, but I don't want the one who's in all the multi-packs.
Yeah, and, yeah. I think Haiku is the weakest link,
yeah.
Because there is that official figure coming that looks exactly right. Where yeah. This just sort of has some visual cues that link it to.
And the thing is, Energon Sharktacon had an alt mode that was a lot... Like Energon Sharktacon and Captain Shark had alt modes that were like battleships shaped like sharks.
Yeah.
And they work for this really well. Haiku is a lot more of a stretch, because Skybite was a robot shark, not a shark-shaped battleship.
Yeah.
But
even the robot mode... Like, the official figure looks exactly like what you want.
Yeah.
Where Haiku just, well, some of the colors match, but it's not that character done better. It's not a more detailed, more articulated version. It's just sort of inspired by.
Yeah, and they've done that before when they did the Soundwave off of their Perceptor mold, and
yeah.
Apparently it actually did okay, but just Tsunami... is way more interesting to me, and I wish there was a two-pack. I almost want to email Big Bad and say, or you know, anyone, it's not just Big Bad, that's where I'm looking at it right now. But yeah. I wanted to suggest, like, hey, I think a lot of people would be into a two-pack of Tsunami and Barbossa. So, put the word out.
You do email Big Bad, and you get a reply from Joel, like, all in caps, like, everyone's yelling at me, I'm really stressed out.
What do you want?
I'm really stressed out right now.
What do you want?
I've talked to Joel a couple times in person. He seems like a really nice guy. And he really hooked me up early on in my collecting days, when I had a problem with a figure. Made it right, instantly. No fuss, no muss.
Or Huss.
And it bums me out when things kind of go bad with Big Bad.
And that, I mean, you know, going back to that point.
I wish I was getting something out of, like, backing them up like I've been this whole episode, it seems.
Well, you know, that's going back to the point I made way back of, like, you know, once you start looking at a store, partly as a store, but also partly as, you know, the person running the store... It does muddy the waters a bit in terms of discussing the business end.
Yeah.
You know, Orson, I think, is a great example, because Orson is a one-man operation for the most part with Captured Prey.
Yeah, and that last BotCon I went to, kind of hanging in his little off-site room where they were selling... Because that was the Dallas BotCon where they banned all third-party stuff from the dealer floor. So all these dealers, like, set up little stores in their rooms and kind of being in there and doing some dealing, because he bought, like, some of my convention figures that I didn't want. And, you know, he seemed really cool, too, and worked out a deal, and I was very happy with the deal. I don't think any of these guys are bad people.
Yeah, it's... Like I've met Joel briefly. I've met the TF Source guy briefly. I've talked to Orson a whole bunch. You know, Orson I talked to way more than the other two. But I've never had like, you know, I never had sleaze coming off them when I talked to him. And I have talked to people who had sleaze coming off them. And I'm sure that if I feel like there's a good person I'm talking to who happens to run a web store, they've probably done something business wise that would make me squint, because I'm not involved in that side of business.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And that's business.
Yeah, business makes villains of us all. Me especially.
Man, you should write that down.
I'm actually starting a whole new TV show pitch. It's about businessmen. Takes place in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
It's called Bad Men.
Ooh.
and I'm planning to pitch it to a couple Canadian channels. I think it's going to be a hit.
So do they work on Battison Street, and that's why they're called Bad Men?
No, they're called Bad Men because they're businessmen, and so they have to do things that make them bad.
Well, do you watch Mad Men?
No.
Do you know that they're called Mad Men because they work on Madison Avenue?
I did not. I just assumed that that was the title of the show and kind of just took it at face value.
Yeah.
That's actually really clever. I like that. I should steal that for mine. Yeah, Madison Avenue.
Yeah, there you go. That's why I said that.
I'll add that into my treatment. Look forward to it, 2017. Here we come.
I called it Madison Street, though, because I was trying to make it a little more different. Make it a little more original.
Madison Crescent. That's me putting my spin on it so that I can say it was my idea.
Madison Cul-de-sac.
Sorry, that's business. Well, my new picture pick is all business. And Seth hasn't seen this before. So, Seth, what do you think?
Oh, I'm not into it. That's what I said earlier. Yep. When I did see this before.
When you passed on it as a new pick before I even told you I wanted to do it.
Well, I just saw the thumbnail and I didn't bother to read the title. And I was like, is that a wind charger? And then I clicked on it and saw MicroMaster Countdown. And then I was like, oh, I don't care anymore.
So, yeah, there's some CAD imagery, or at least 3D imagery, of some unnamed group who are working on a project called Moonraker, which is a modernly engineered, I'm assuming slightly larger, probably legend size, MicroMaster Countdown, who will come with a turret that apparently you can plug into Generations Metroplex, which is perfect as an idea. That's great. The only reason why I'm kind of into this is, back in the days, I think it's the last one I participated in, I used to take part in some fan dubs, and there was a fan dub of Transformers Zone where Countdown is a main character, and I played Countdown, and that's like my favorite fan dub thing I've ever done, because I recorded all the lines without having watched Zone, and then when I watched the fan dub of it, or at least I hadn't seen Zone for years, and I didn't know the situations that were going on with the character to go with the lines. So I watched the dub, and there's this one part where I played Countdown as speaking in all caps all the time, so he was just really, really loud. And it's funny, because half the time he's talking to people face-to-face, so he's just screaming in their faces in this dub. And there's a part where he's reacting to something that's going on, and I thought he was yelling to someone from, like, across a room, because that's what the line sounded like when I read it. And he's actually talking to someone who's literally standing right next to him, so he's just screaming at the top of his lungs at this person. I think Holy or whatever, who's standing right next to him, and that always makes me chuckle. So I saw this, and I felt all nostalgic, and I think I'm going to get it when it comes out, just because it's Countdown.
Okay, has the character Countdown appeared in any animated shows since Zone?
I do not believe he has.
And were you the only person that did the voice for Countdown in this fan sub?
I believe I was.
Okay, and so once it's a fan sub, obviously it's recorded after the original Japanese.
Yes.
So you're most likely the last person to voice act Countdown.
Possibly, yes.
So you can claim to be the final Countdown.
You're the final countdown.
That was a long play. That was a long play. That was throwing it from one end of the field all the way to the other end of the field. Just watching this football spiral through the air. Lands touchdown. And I'm just like, what just happened? That's what just happened. So this was shared by TFW 2005 board member CZ Hazard.
That's an awesome name.
And Oreo's the best, because when he wrote the front page post, after naming CZ Hazard, He referred to him from that point onwards as Mr. Hazard, which is pretty great.
And then he replies, "Hey, my father was Mr. Hazard."
Yeah. Call me CZ. According to Mr. Hazard, prototype pictures will be available next week. Now, this news item went up on the 4th of April, plus 7 days. That would be the 11th of April, which is today, and there are no new prototype pictures, so it's already behind schedule. But that's the way it goes with indie projects, yo. So check out what it looks like. It's all CAD imagery. I think it looks okay. You know, if it's sold for a nominal fee, could be a nice pickup. If it's like 60, 80 bucks, then I might blink a little bit
Well, I think because of your connection to the character, you are morally obligated to get it.
I am.
Because, look, fan subs are unofficial.
True.
This toy figure is unofficial.
Yeah.
You have to keep it. You have to... He is your avatar.
I should just say I am the official voice actor of Moonraker.
Okay. Like the James Bond movie?
No, this, because the third party name for this guy is Moonraker.
Oh. I was hoping you were claiming the James Bond.
Yeah, I voice acted the entire Moonraker film.
You should fan sub Moonraker.
In English. Just by myself.
God, that movie disappointed me so much when I was a kid.
I haven't seen that movie in literally decades, I believe.
Well, I was like sixth grade maybe when I saw it. Maybe fifth grade. And so, like, I've never been that much of a James Bond fan. Like, ever. It just never clicked with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew they went into space in Moonraker. And as far as I knew, any movie that goes into space is awesome.
Hell yeah.
So I was down to see Moonraker. And then, man, I was so bummed.
Disappointed kid Seth.
I'm like, there ain't no laser guns. There ain't no space alien man. What? It's just the space shuttle. I could see the real space shuttle on TV. Because this is back in the day when they televised every space shuttle launch and it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've seen this, like, I've seen the actual space shuttle on TV, like, hella bunches. This is some fake-ass, cheesy special effects space shuttle. I guess Jaws is kind of a cool character, but he's barely in this thing. I don't like James Bond.
Jaws was way cooler in James Bond Jr.
I never saw that.
Yeah, I only saw like one episode, but I know the theme song real well. Not going to sing any of it, but...
James Bond Jr.
That's not the theme song.
Junior James Bond Jr.
That's not the theme song to... Nope, that's still not the theme song. James Bond Jr.
James Bond Jr.
The main thing I remember about James Bond Jr. is whenever the character would introduce himself to someone, he'd drop the, "My name's James Bond. And he was a very, very fey-voiced British character. So he's like, "My name's Bond, James Bond Jr." And it was always like this little slightly drawn-out, like, "Junior" on the end of his name. That, like, took all the gravitas, all the protagonist power right out of that character when I was a kid. I could not stand him. Also, Dr. No was green in James Bond Jr. He had green skin. An odd job wore a tracksuit and had bling. You might think I'm making this up, but I had the James Bond Jr. odd job toy. He still threw his hat.
Except for it was like a baseball cap.
No, it's still a tracksuit. Hang on, I gotta find you a picture of this
That'd
guy.
Be awesome if they really just totally crapped him up. And
oh, yeah, I forgot he had a little mustache too. I forgot. Okay, here's the box art from the toy.
Okay, now I don't know nothing about no James Bond Jr. I haven't clicked on this image yet.
Right.
When you said he's in a tracksuit, the tracksuit I imagined is like a powder blue with white stripes.
All right.
Like the stripe running down the arm, the stripe running down the leg. So now I'm going to click on it and we're going to see. Oh, it's even crazier. Okay, he doesn't look... He does not look Asian. He looks like a really awful 90s... Like, this is what we think rappers dress like.
He's got a huge gold chain medallion that says OJ on the front.
Yeah, and he's got... like high top sneakers and lion shaved in his hair.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. That looks like some 90s ass 90s stuff.
And that's what I thought right Oddjob looked like for many years of my life.
No.
I had this toy right here with its hat throwing action. I lost the hat very soon. Because the hat-throwing action was not very good, so I had a hatless Oddjob, and that made him even worse.
Well, when I joked that he had a baseball cap, and he said no, then I started imagining more like a Run-DMC-looking dude. But they didn't wear tracksuits. They wore Adidas, but not Adidas tracksuit.
Yeah.
So, and this doesn't... Yeah.
I need to show you Dr. No.
I don't.
You should take a look at what Dr. No looked like in this cartoon.
I've never wanted to be on topic more. I like going off topic. I think it's fun. I've never wanted more to get back on topic.
I want you to tell me where you think his mustache strands are coming from.
The insides of his nostrils. And he looks like... Yeah. He looks like a collection of some bad Asian stereotype images, which then makes me think that, like, somebody at the animation studio was like, we're laying it on kind of thick with the bad stereotypes, so let's just make him green.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't accidentally make him yellow, because then that's going way too far.
I also forgot that there was a female character in the show called Goldie Finger.
Uh-huh. Of course there is. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't there be? Are you going to make me look at Goldie Finger?
No, okay. I think I'm done. This Google image search is getting worse and worse as I'm scrolling down.
Oh, what a surprise. Who would have thought it would get worse?
I know, right? Oh, I forgot they had... So Q is retired at this point, right?
Uh-huh.
So the Q character, the younger new Q, is called IQ. And he has a firing boxing glove missile that shoots out of the inside of his lab coat. Right. Okay, so James Bond Jr., look it up. Let's do a listener question.
Okay.
I lined up a couple of them for us this week, actually.
I noticed. We're blowing them out.
Well, we're getting close to episode 300, with it being 299.
It doesn't get much closer.
So I figure the way to celebrate hitting 300 is to get rid of our listener question queue over the course of the next couple episodes.
By select all delete.
Yep. No. In fact, so I've lined up three. If we did six, then the queue would be half gone. But I don't think we could get through six in a row. That might be rough. I wanted to save a few for later. Anyway, this first one comes from Ramdom Access, who says, "Dear Vangelis and those other super cool guys, I have returned to ask even more Transformers questions because I didn't have any friends as into the franchise as me. But enough sulking, let's Q&A it up." That's right. He's moving on, just pulling his pants up, buckling his belt.
He should go to a convention and make some friends.
I agree. It's a good place to meet people. His first question is, there have been a few times in Transformers where they tried to bring in a third faction to shake that old Autobot-Decepticon conflict of the space swashbuckling Star Seeker, the Nobel Dragon Predacons, the Vale Citizens of Quintessa, and his favorite is the technology-obsessed Mech from Transformers Prime, who he thinks could be a crazy cool new way of introducing head, power, and action masters as they try to recreate Cybertron tech. I agree, and I thought they were going to do that in Prime. So, of all the non-Autobot and Decepticon factions that we've had throughout the years, Seth, which one do you want to see more built up in some future piece of media?
He named the Quintessons. I thought the Quintessons were awesome when they were introduced back in the day. I loved how crazy they were, how they were like nuts, being like putting on these kangaroo trials. And being like innocent, and then throwing him into a pit to die. I like the Quintessons. Like all the, and there's like all these different kinds. Like, and like I remember watching the '86 movie, and just like having so many questions, and just wanting to know so much more about these Quintesson dudes. Like, so these guys got a bunch of different faces, but these guys have like crazy tentacle arms, and these guys are kind of different from that, and. They all seem to have different jobs, and, like, how did they all get like this? Are they all the same race? Are they a collection of races? Like, what's going on? These things are fascinating. Flesh them out. But I do like when they sort of throw in these other factions into the mix. Like, in RID, a.k.a. Car Robots, when they had the Autobots, Predacons, and Decepticons all at the same time.
Yeah.
That was cool. So, I would... Yeah, I'm just down for any more of multiple faction types and different things coming from different directions. And I kind of fell off on Prime, but yes, I agree. Mech was a cool idea.
Yeah. If the next show really is going to be keeping Prime as part of its past continuity, I would actually love to see Mech make a return. I'd love to see the... like Prime tried to kind of erase Mech once Silas went off into the end of his story arc. But I would really like to think that there was more than one Mech installation, and that I want to see what Mech was doing for like 5 or 10 years or however long the time jump is going to be. I want to see like Earth having to deal, like, you know, with the Cybertronians all gone, Earth is trying to deal with Mech as a growing terrorist power with all their, you know, semi-transformery things they've been making. I think that I think it was criminal that. The only Mech toy representation we got were two toys in the Japanese line. Like Mech could have been some really cool alternate ways to deliver Transformers toys with, you know, like the Masters stuff would all have been a really cool thing to just tie together with Mech. And I hope that can make some kind of a return, because I think that was one of the best things to come out of Prime as far as a third faction or anything, really.
Yeah. Well, like, 80s... toy lines and their associated cartoons and comic books and stuff. They were all very much like, these are the good guys, these are the bad guys. All the good guys are this, all the bad guys are that. And they are fighting forever.
Yeah.
And unlike in a comic book, where you have your Batman, and he has this whole rogues gallery of different villains... that maybe sometimes a couple work together, but usually it's just one villain at a time. And some villains are like groups. And it's like a different threat every story. It's not just Batman versus Joker forever. Like, Joker comes and goes, and in the meantime you get all these other bad guys. Like, that doesn't really exist in all these franchises that came up out of the 80s. So, like, in the cartoons or the comics, when they would, like, throw in, like, this new threat that wasn't Cobra or the Decepticons or Skeletor's gang of knuckleheads or whatever, and those were always, like, some of my favorite episodes. It's like when Dr. Archibald comes along in Transformers.
Yeah.
It's like, even though he's kind of working with a Decepticon or two, like, the fact that it's like, oh, it's this bad human, this is amazing.
Yeah, well, anything that like shakes up the formula. I mean, in the recent IDW comic books, you know, more or less a third faction, the non-aligned Cybertronians, helped really shake up the what I think made RID a really interesting book while under the shadow of More Than Meets the Eye. Like, having all these guys who are like, Autobots and Decepticons are dumb ideas and you should all feel bad for being them. Yep. Stop fighting because there's more of us now. And why are you guys the government? Like, it added in this great third element. And I think in Prime, when Mech was this legitimate third faction threat whenever it showed up, made that whole world more interesting too. I think I said as much when we were doing Primetime. There's a faction here that was mentioned, the Star Seekers, the space pirates, from the novels, I want to say, that came out of the aligned prequel continuity. I want to see them in a show, you know, because they have their own faction symbol. They got their one toy in the Prime line, Thundertron. I want to know more about them. I should have mentioned the Predacons, especially in Predacons Rising, were a fantastic, you know, non-Autobot Decepticon faction.
Yeah, and going outside of Transformers a little and just back on, like, third factions in general, I think my favorite is October Guard from G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they were both. They were an ally and an opponent. Because, you know, they were the Soviets. So, of course, they weren't going to get along with the American Joes until the bigger mutual threat appeared. Then they would work together, and then they, like, kind of, like, walk away from each other, going, like, well, next time. And it's like, yeah, commie.
Well, that's why I like the non-Cobra antagonists in general, like Iron Claw or the Headman. Headman was non-Cobra, right? He's the bad guy from the anti-drug special.
I think
if he was Cobra affiliated,
he talked to like Cobra Commander on like a monitor or something.
I know Iron Claw did, or no, General Blitzkrieg did. General Blitz was another fun one.
Yeah, well, before they did the redesign of the figures, and they were still like the O-rings.
Yeah,
they re-released Headman in a new color deco and put a Cobra logo on his chest, if I remember correctly. I have that figure somewhere.
Because I remember Headman had his own army of faceless goons who all were wearing cocked berets. And I kind of like the idea of, you know, Headman and his army of goons is this, like, you know, there's no reason why this simple drug lord should have this much power, but he came into it. And if I were writing a fiction, it would be like Headman and his cronies are maybe loosely affiliated with Cobra, but so chaotic.
Yeah, I'm really not an expert on that era of G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
But I want to say I have some memory that, like, maybe Headman was, like, getting weapons from Cobra or something like that.
Yeah,
like he wasn't directly a member of Cobra, but there was some, like, he was buying guns from him or something. I don't know.
Because conceptually, the idea of this street-level, you know, drug lord and his thugs getting all this equipment that's way too powerful for, you know, whatever level of villainous discipline they may have, I find really intriguing. Like, that's another example of a third group, I guess. Yeah. I really enjoy. Oh no, they heard me talking about Headman.
You're harboring a fugitive, eh?
Here comes the drug elimination force. All those toxo zombies. There they go. See, that's the thing. The sirens always pass by, but they always drive away. That's what I was telling someone the other day.
What?
Well, someone was like, what's up with all the sirens? And I was like, well, they never stop here. I'm just right by the highway. So I'm right by a common entry-exit point that they use.
Okay.
Anyway, we should move on to the next question here.
Next question.
Which is, if Beast Wars came back for a new cartoon, do you think the cast would stay the same? Would Beast Megatron still be called Megatron? Could we see Big or Lio Convoy leading the Maximals? Well, if Beast Wars came back, I don't think they'd rename anybody. And if it came back, I don't think we'd have Optimus Primal or Megatron in it, because they very definitively could not be in it after Beast Machines. Which, you know, to your point, I think it would be really interesting to see Big or Lio done in a stateside cartoon. And I'm sure they would, like, if like this is all me assuming this is like some kind of Beast Wars sequel. If it was just like a reboot Beast Wars, then
yeah, that's my assumption.
They would probably still call it, you know, they'd still call him Megatron. The whole story why he called himself Megatron was really clever. Like, I'd want them to keep that in.
He couldn't think of anything else.
He thought Megatron was so cool, he just took his name as his own.
I'm the leader of the bad guys, and the leader of the bad guys is called Megatron. I'm called Megatron now.
Like, I'd want to see an episode of before he took on that name to do the big reveal of, like, who was this guy before he decided to become another Megatron? Like, I found that part interesting. Well, Seth, do you think that a Beast Wars reboot would be very referential to the old cast?
I would guess that no. Like, there would be an Optimus Primal, there would be a Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the cast, I think, would be completely up for grabs.
I bet you there would be a Bulkhead and a Bumblebee. But as beasts.
Now, would they find a way to change Bulkhead's name to be Bulkhead-ish, but also bestial, like Optimus Primal?
Bulk Rhino?
There you go. Bulkhead would be the new Rhinox.
And Bumblebee?
Maybe he's not called Bulk Rhino, but that would be... It would basically, like, people would watch and go, this is basically Rhinox. They put the Bulkhead name on him.
Why wouldn't he be Bulk Rhino?
I don't know, maybe he would be. But the point is, it would essentially be the Rhinox character, but not called Rhinox.
I would just love to see them put Bumblebee in the show and not have him turn into a bumblebee. That'd and then genius. make that part of the show. Make everyone just go like, why didn't you just become a bumblebee? And he's like, nah, man, I wanted to be this awesome cheetah.
Yeah, I was going to say he'd be the cheetah.
A cheetah called Bumblebee would be so good. Guys, I was thinking of changing my name to Goldbug.
And then just to exacerbate it, like, he has, like, this stinger beam attack. And it's like, look, come on, are you serious?
His robot mode head just looks like a bee robot.
Yeah.
Like,
and he's constantly denying it. Like, when people ask, why are you called Bumblebee? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, he still answers to it, but he won't explain it in any way. And then, yeah. Like, he just keeps making all these bee references.
You just got stung!
Yeah, it's like, stinger zap! Zip!
And he's got, like...
People are like, come on, it's a stinger. He's like, what? I don't know.
He's got, like, super big beef with Waspinator, but will not explain why.
Even Waspinator is like, I don't know why you're always on my case. Like, I didn't do anything to you.
I really like the idea of this character now.
Like, Waspinator's, like, going out of his way to, like, make things cool, and Bumblebee just won't have any of it.
Waspinator's just, like, bringing him gifts. He just slaps out of his hand. Steps on it. Oh, man, yeah, Beast Wars Bumblebee is my new favorite Transformers character. Question number three, which do you like more, Transformers with noses, like in G1, or without noses, like in Animated, or I guess Prime? They didn't have noses either. Thanks for being fantastic and making always a fun podcast, reading your questions, and dropped call noise. Seth, do you like your Transformers with or without noses?
I thought the noselessness worked better in the Animated style, where in Prime... At least to my eye, it just looked like something was missing from the faces. Like, because there were, I think it was because it was 3D models versus 2D animation. And with the 3D models, like, being three-dimensional, polygonal, more sort of detailed, just that flat, smooth space in the middle of the face seemed... a little odder than it did with Animated, where it was a more stylized, drawn styling.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually have a lot of trouble answering this excuse me, this question, because, you know, my knee jerk is there's a lot of Transformers without noses that I've really been into for the last little while. But there are some Transformers whose noses add so much to their character, be it like, you know, in current IDW, the Armada-ish Starscream design, that nose somehow adds this level of snideness to that character that I really enjoy. It's hard to say, man. Like, yeah, really for me, I think it's case by case. Like, I've seen so many good examples either way. Like, the best answer I can give is I'm certainly not against a lack of noses, because I think actually both Animated and Prime did a pretty good job of the noselessness just to make it part of the physiology. I think that the noselessness of Movie Prime, at least the thing he has, I don't like. Like, the weird flat wedge that makes it look like he has a nose when his faceplate is up, and then makes it look like he has a something when his faceplate is down. That's too gray between the line for me. Like, that's where I'm just like, I can't deal with that thing. I think I like it either flat or just pointy and proud, you know? That's what I'm going to say. And that's... Yeah,
I think it depends on the art style.
Yeah, yeah. Completely. Let's move on to our second listener question. This comes from XL Hedge, who says he's got some questions for ya. Would you guys want an Autobot-themed Fans Project M3, that's their Menasor, based on the G1 episode Masquerade? Give each character a new head and redeco to make Optimus Prime, Windcharger, Sideswipe, Jazz, and Mirage. I would totally be into that, like, conceptually. I don't know if I would, like, it, on day one, like, throw the money down, but I think that would be a fun thing to see. Maybe not so much as a produced toy, so much as a one-off custom, but I think, I mean, it's a completely logical idea, and it could be interesting to look at. Like, if you, yeah, give them all new heads, especially. I'd like to see how that looks myself. I don't know. Seth, you've got that set. Would you want to see the Masquerade version of them?
I mean, yeah, it sounds like a cool idea. I don't know if I would want it.
Yeah, but me neither.
Look cool, I guess.
I just want to see it now. Like, I don't really want to buy it, but I really want to know what it would look like in all modes. Yeah, someone do that. You, over there. You do that for us. Thank you. Question number two. With combiner fatigue setting in, I assume in the independent realm is what he's speaking of, what's the next big gimmick or theme you want two-third to focus on? I don't like the idea of that having been the third. That I don't like that. Indie, that's the word for me. So, Seth, in those unofficial IP infringing toys, where would you like to see the whole marketplace go to as a trend as far as a gimmick or theme, the way that a lot of the marketplace went to combiners for the last couple of years?
GoBots.
Hey, I got some good news for you.
GoBots.
It's already happening.
Well, I mean, is it happening, or is it like the first little drips?
It's drips, for sure. But you know what? Sal Moore is 100% a GoBot. He's not a Transformers-y one that is being tweaked into a GoBot.
Right.
Sal Moore could be the sign of beautiful things to come for us GoBots fans.
I already laid down a pre-order on them.
Yeah. Oh,
me too. And like some of these others, like X-Transbot seems to be kind of a little more into it, because they have that crank mold GoBot style coming.
Oh yeah, for Hoss.
Right. Yeah, Hoss. They're doing Sonic, the Turbo we talked about earlier. So I would like to see it catch on.
Yeah.
And it seems like a few intrepid companies are testing the waters. But I would like to see it catch on.
Me too. GoBots, because, Brave, and, all that.
Yeah, and I had said a few episodes back, like, you know, wasn't that into GoBots as a kid. Still had a bunch of GoBots. But GoBots have a similar nostalgia to G1 So I don't think it's that big of a departure from doing G1 figures. Personally. But the whole thing of like they can only sell G1 inspired unofficial toys might constrain all of that.
Well, GoBots, like you said, they're in a position to tap a little bit of that energy.
Yeah.
I'm a bit less I like the same idea, but for slightly different reasons. I want to see them all. Just doing GoBots, Brave, you know, give me my Mastermind Creations, GauGaiGar. I want to see so much stuff that the third-party forums attitude becomes a unified, goddamn it, where did all the Transformers toys go? I want to see this thing go so crazy with GoBots and non-Transformer IPs that everyone's like, wait, you guys, you're supposed to infringe on our IP. Where'd you go? Come back. Come back. Make us more combiners. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm feeling a little bit cruel, but...
You know, here's something that would be interesting if these unofficial companies, if they wanted to get into a market who has a collector's base hungry for new product, third-party G.I. Joe figures.
So, number one, I don't appreciate that little chuckle you made there. No laugh or no Joe, sir.
I was laughing at the pause.
Have some solemnity, please! So have you heard of Boss Acid Fight Rain. Studios? Acid Rain as well. have you heard of Boss Fight Studios?
No.
So Boss Fight Studios kind of became the new, as far as I've seen, and I haven't dug too deep so far, with Hasbro not being at JoeCon, apparently Boss Fight Studios kind of stole some of the show at JoeCon by unveiling all this 4-inch scale stuff they're working on, like a Medusa Gorgon, where you can have her, like, before she was a Gorgon, where she's just a green lady with snakes in her hair, or just full-on, like, Globulus Medusa with, like, a snake tail. And apparently it's very well done, and Boss Fight, if I understand correctly, I'm going to double check. I believe Boss Fight Studios are former Hasbro dudes, if not former toy industry dudes. And it's kind of like they're swooping in and going like, well, if they're not going to make G.I. Joe scale stuff, we're going to make our own G.I. Joe scale stuff. And we've all worked on this kind of thing before.
Okay, but that's not infringing on G.I.
Joe. Oh, no, yeah, they're doing it. Yeah, there's no IP infringement in there.
Yeah, just like Acid Range isn't infringing on G.I. Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just similar size. I'm talking about infringing.
Serpent Leader.
Yeah.
Yeah. Serpent Emperor. Chrome Face. Hang on a second. I have to check some.
The Princess.
The Gemini Twins.
There you go.
Janice and Sinaj. Yeah. Let's see someone do that.
Why can't... I'm starting to get tired, and when I get tired, I can't remember names. Damn it.
Dr. Mindbender.
No, I'm trying to think of an actor's name. Here, I gotta cheat. I gotta cheat.
Kevin Bacon. Titus Welliver.
John Wayne.
John Wayne. Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
That's your unofficial Duke.
Just call him John Wayne?
Yes.
I like that. I like the unsubtlety of that. That's perfect. No, if they want to avoid any kind of legality stuff up front, just call him Wayne Johnson.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Oh, my God. Wayne Johnson. And then he looks like The Rock.
But Boom. Then he's not. Then he's Roadblock.
That's the whole thing. Is it's like it's Roadblock, but wearing Duke's clothes.
Duke Block.
Oh man, Duke Block. Hey, this next question is about video games.
I had diarrhea. I took some Duke Block.
Oh God!
Stopped it right up.
Actually, before I go into this question, I do want to mention, I was thinking about this all day on the subway because I was really tired on the subway.
Thinking about how you hope you don't have diarrhea because you're on the subway.
That too, because that would
be... And you
be
wish a, you had some Duke Block so you didn't have to worry about it.
Stick the Duke Block right up the crevice and...
I didn't say it was... It's a pill. It's not a suppository. You're gross.
I was just talking about a block.
Okay.
Just stop the gap. Seal the leak. So, you know, with my newfound desire to you know, treat G.I. Joe with the utmost respect and solemnity, I was thinking about, you know, where we could direct our sardonic attitude towards a doomed franchise. And then I realized it. It's been staring me in the face.
Thundercats.
No. Mega Man.
Oh, Mega Man.
Think of all those... Mega Man's just had a big anniversary where everything that happened in the name of that anniversary was, like, the most, like... Post, like little, what is it, greeting card in the mail kind of stuff. Like, hey, look, we put joke fat Mega Man into Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Hey, check it out. We've got a mobile game for Mega Man to celebrate the anniversary. Like, the best Mega Man news that happened is that his special attack in Smash Brothers will have extra Mega Man in it. So you want to feel sorry for someone, you feel sorry for that Mega Man fan over there.
You're Luigi.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what's really important, right? Who played Mega Man? So, speaking of video games...
Mega Man from Captain N the Game Master.
That's the best Mega Man.
Where he had that little frog voice and for some reason was green.
Yep. Mega High! Mega You! We've got to go Mega over there. That's the best Mega Man. Next High Moon game. Do you want it to take place on Earth or Cybertron? What time era? XL Hedge would like it to be on Cybertron during the 4 million year time jump and show what happened when Optimus and Megatron and the rest were not there. Well, this kind of answered itself because they're putting out a game that takes place on both Earth and Cybertron. Somehow.
And it's still High Moon?
Was it
High Moon on fire? And
yeah, High Moon is on fire.
Burned to the ground.
Because Deadpool. So, this is probably more so next Transformers game at this point. Not that I'm happy about that. That's a bummer.
No.
I think that Deadpool was...
We got to talk to nice people that worked at High Moon.
Yeah. And I feel bad that they were that excited about Deadpool. Is that... seemed to kind of blow up in their face. But yeah, it looks like the next game is going to be both. Seth, do we talk about this next game at all? Dark Matrix,
no.
Something, Dark Spark. So they put out a new trailer for Bumblebee, just showing that movie Bumblebee and War for Cybertron Bumblebee are both in the game. And it still doesn't make any sense to me exactly what all this means in terms of the single-player campaign, where apparently there is a single-player campaign where you play as both Autobots and Decepticons, jumping from faction to faction. Looks a whole lot like they're using the art assets from Fall of Cybertron and the Dark of the Moon game, because Bumblebee straight up turns into the Stealth Force mode from that game. Like car mode with all the mask weapons coming out.
Yeah.
Something about that game tastes really funny to me. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I haven't really looked much into it. I don't really feel like I am informed enough to make an opinion on that game. I do like this guy's suggestion, though. This idea about a game that takes place on Cybertron, Bully, you know, Optimus and Megatron are sleeping.
Because I'd love to see that.
I know. He's just looking at the first couple G1 episodes. Like, it starts on Cybertron. Autobots are clearly on the ropes. They're losing. There is desperate times. Then everybody wakes up. Megatron reestablishes contact with Cybertron. The implication is, at least, Shockwave won. While Megatron was gone, Shockwave took care of it. And for the last 4 million years, he's just been running the show. And then that's where, like, I like comic book Shockwave way more. Because cartoon Shockwave is just like, oh, awesome, Megatron's back. I guess I'll just Here's the keys to the city.
Yeah, please come back home soon, sir.
Where comic book Shockwave is just like, oh, no. Oh, no. I did this. This is mine. It's been mine for 4 million years. I'm going to Earth. I'm going to shoot this fool in the back. Just, ugh. No. Done. Forget it.
Well, I would love to see the video game Cybertron right after the ending of the last game, because the ending of the last game is awesome. Like, I was rewatching it a couple times. Like, the operatic calamity disaster of just everything blowing up, and everyone just, both ships, like, the Nemesis and the Ark, aren't just flying through this wormhole. They're, like, ripping open while they're flying through the wormhole with, like, you know, crew member getting sucked out of the ship while in the middle of hyperspace. And, like, Optimus and Megatron are on top of one of the ships as they're flying through the portal. Like, I want to know what happened to both sides after that, because that was a fantastic ending that really warrants at least, like, another cutscene, you know, somewhere down the road to show what happened. Because, man, I love the end of Fall of Cybertron. That was a really good ending, in my opinion, anyway.
I think a video game set on Cybertron, while a Shockwave is completely in control of the planet, like, in this, like, total, like, Big Brother fashion. Yeah. There's monitors all over the place, and Shockwave's, I was going to say Shockwave's unblinking eye, but he blinks every time he says a syllable. Shockwave's eye, and that voice, that classic Shockwave voice, and he just has the whole planet on lockdown, and Autobots... The Autobots that are left are like this band of just rough freedom fighter, like guerrilla fighter types, like creeping around in shadows. That could be a fun game.
Led by Alita One, Firestar, and Chromia.
Yeah. And then, like, you're doing little, like, sabotage missions. And maybe a little bit of a stealth element.
Yeah.
Like, not a full-on stealth game, but, like, maybe there's sections where, like, oh, you could kind of, like, creep around this way. Like, you can go in guns blazing, or you could kind of creep around that way.
Or you use transformation for part of the stealth.
Yeah. And just, like, really play up, like, the hopelessness of the whole situation.
Yeah. Oh, man, then you have it end with the first contact with Earth.
Right.
We should become game designers. It seems easy enough. We just gotta make a Kickstarter.
Yeah. We'll call Brad.
Yeah.
He knows how to make games.
Exactly. He lives in Britain.
Just tell him our ideas and then yell at him until it happens.
Yeah, we'll bring Matt Teager on too.
Yeah.
Get him to go to GDC and, you know, tell people what his favorite Transformer is.
Yeah.
All right, I like this idea.
I wish I could remember the character that he kept mispronouncing the name for, though.
I just remember
there was one character he kept... Oh, it was the Quintessons. He kept calling them, like, the Quintessons or something.
Yeah.
And it just... Every time he'd say it, it'd be like...
That's interesting, yeah. Very pointed, like, yeah, I love the Quintessons.
I think widened. I even said Quintessons once.
Well, our last question from XL Hedge is, what's the one character you'd want to see as a masterpiece, not necessarily from G1, and please not one that's already been announced for consideration of one?
Huffer. Huh?
Whoa, holy crap, what time is it? Is it... Damn.
Huh?
Yeah, huh? What? Hi.
Are you talking about, like, you just realized what the real time was?
No, I feel like suddenly I fell asleep for, like, 2 seconds.
Skygary.
Skygary, okay.
Circuit Breaker.
Countdown.
I just hit all my standard answers. Huffer, Skygary, and Circuit Breaker.
I want Masterpiece Punch Counter Punch. Give me Masterpiece Punch Counter Punch,
please. That would be cool. That would be really cool. I like that idea. I like the way you're thinking.
That was one of my very first Transformers I remember being really into. I'm really into the character. The character's never been adequately explored. Give me a Masterpiece toy. Thank you.
Well, there was that club figure, right? A few years back.
Yeah.
That was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's not masterpiece.
No, but you said adequately.
Oh, no, I meant...
That was at least adequate.
I meant in media.
Oh.
Like, there's never been a cartoon or comic story that went full bore into what you could do with Punch Counterpunch. That's the story I still want to write.
Never go full Counterpunch.
Never go full Counterpunch. Yeah, that's my answer. That's Seth's answer. Those are answers to your question.
What if they did a masterpiece Perceptor that was like a really good microscope?
I would love to see how that would work.
Not one that you would like do science with, but
yeah,
like one that you could like actually like have some fun with looking at stuff.
That would be cool. I'd want to see how that mechanism would be fit into the transforming toy.
Well, you just put it all in the lens part.
It's just a giant lens.
Well, I mean, it's masterpiece. It's big. I mean, even like a regular size Perceptor, like you could fit a decent microscope lens in there. Because I remember when I was a kid, I was little. This is early 80s. I got a microscope for Christmas one year. I used to look at all kinds of crap under that thing. And it had like 3 magnification settings. It rotated the deal.
That would look cool worked into Perceptor.
You could easily fit one decent magnification into just a G1 Perceptor housing. You could fit something good in there. I don't think it's ridiculous. And I'm not talking about like, oh, I'm going to discover like a new proton with this, or oh, I found the Higgs boson with my masterpiece Perceptor.
Hey, it's just over here the whole time, guys. You look over here.
Yeah, but you know, you put like 15, 20 times magnification on something, like you could stick like sweep up some hair and stick some hairs under there and be like, oh, look at the hair under there. It's crazy.
Higgs boson was on my head the whole time.
Oh, look at it. It's right there. I found it. Pain. I didn't need a giant super collider either. I just knew where to look.
I just knew where to look, scientists.
Oh, look. I discovered all the evidence you need for dark energy. Found it right here using my masterpiece Perceptor.
It was all in my hair. Anyway, that's XL Hedge's set of questions. We got one more set here from G1 Wheeljack, who says, hello, Evangelist, WTF at TFW Crew, and any special guests that may be on. I hope you're all having a pleasant recording whenever you get to these questions. Thank you. Question number one. This can be applied to more than Transformers, but I've seen this issue pop up recently in the fandom. He won't go into any further details in that. He's talking about the Windblade and RC arguments that happened some time ago. I'm going to open that can up. It's all too easy to find a creator, especially in the age of social media, tie the work to them, and then have your opinion of them alter your perception or enjoyment of the work through association. Do you or are you able to separate the art from the artist? Have you ever had an opinion on a piece change, be it visual, writing, physical, or some other medium, because of the creator? A totally hyperbole example of this, just to lay this out for anyone still a bit confused, would be like, I really like this comic book. Oh! Even though it's written really well, the writer turns out to be a skinhead white supremacist who has murdered people. Does that or does that not affect the perception of how good the writing on the comic was? Obviously, most of the time, you don't have hyperbolic examples such as that, but laying it out with crayons for you.
Yeah. Well, if you wanted to be more subtle and a little more real-world example, it's like, oh, I like Transformer comic books. This one is Pat Lee. Oh, I like superhero comic books, but yuck, this one's Rob Liefeld.
Yeah. Well, then, Seth.
Hi.
Are you able to separate the art from the artist? That's actually a really cool way to ask the question.
There's examples where it kind of depends on the art and the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Miller is done some incredible stuff. A little while ago, he came out and said some crazy political stuff.
Just a little while ago?
Yeah, like a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, this is just, you know, from my point of view, I thought he said some kind of a little out there. Like, he didn't say anything, like, crazy hateful or anything. Just, it kind of clashed with some of my own opinions.
He comes off to me as very wide-eyed when he starts doing that, is the way I put it.
Yeah, and it kind of bummed me out a little, because I was like, oh, come on, Frank. But it didn't make me then go, you know what, now I think The Dark Knight Returns is garbage. Because I don't think that. It's still awesome. And then there's some people like Rob Liefeld, who, after meeting him in person a couple times at conventions, and then all the stuff about how awful his artwork keeps getting.
Yeah.
It's like, no. It's like, I can't look at Rob Liefeld stuff and not just be like, this is... ugh. I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with anything drawn by Rob Liefeld. So, yeah, I guess it depends.
For me, it's often chronological. Like, if I thought the work was good, and then I find out later that I think the artist is a scumbag, I usually end up still thinking the work was good. Whereas, well, like, if I find out the artist is a scumbag, and then I look at their work, it is often pretty colored because I go in there thinking this was done by a scumbag.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. Dark Knight Returns are good.
But, well, Rob Liefeld is a situation where when he first came onto New Mutants, I was stoked. Because I didn't like the style of the previous artist.
Yeah.
I just didn't like his art style. And I was just putting up with it because I liked the characters so much. And then I think I was just happy that it was any new artist. But there was a while where I kind of liked Rob Liefeld's style. It was a little, you know, it was different. It was a little weird, but yeah. I kind of liked it. And then it just kept getting worse. It became a cartoon of itself, like some weird, it just gets lazier. And it's just like, ugh.
I think Dark Knight Returns is a great example where, because I also think Frank Miller's gone a little bit batty in the last while. But I still think Dark Knight Returns is a great piece of work. I think Alan Moore... he's kind of a grumpy old dude a lot of the time right now. But I think his writing is fantastic. Like I probably wouldn't hang out with him, but I think he did really, really good work.
Is it Grant Morrison? Is he the Scottish guy? Who's the Scottish guy I'm thinking of?
I think you're right. This is the worst time, because now I'm questioning everything. No, he's Scottish. He is.
I just want to make sure that it's who I'm thinking of before I start.
Grant. Well, just to briefly speak to
Grant Morrison. So here's Grant Morrison. Terrific comic book writer. Yeah. Has done some great stuff. I follow some links. He's into some weird nonsense. Like, he's really into, what's it called? Chaos Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find this video where he's talking about how he was working on this comic and he had all these terrible medical things happen to one of the characters. Then all those things started happening to him in real life. So then he started writing that the character got better and fell in love, and then in real life, he fell in love and his medical problems cleared up, and how you can create sigil magic. So, like, he's writing these comics to be these sigils. So you create a sigil and then it puts this energy out into the universe and makes things come true. So if you want to win the lottery, you create a sigil that represents you winning the lottery, and then you replicate that enough times, you will win the lottery. And I'm watching this going, thinking to myself, I still think this guy's a great author, but he's friggin' nuts. This is Looney Tune talk.
Yeah, like in general, like what I was going to say was with the Transformers example of when a lot of people basically turned on Simon Furman for a bit and then, you know, turned on a lot of the stuff he's written. Like, in that case, like, I still thought the stuff he wrote was cool. and then, regardless of the way he was handling that situation at the time, which I think still got blown way the hell out of proportion, I still thought, especially the one controversial concept of it all, I thought was still cool, more so now because it was going to be properly addressed and run through as a storyline. In general, like, I don't like the idea of going back and changing my opinion on something just because the person who made it ended up saying something dumb or straight up just turned into a scumbag, because, you know, to me, I have a lot of trouble affecting my opinion on something that I've already experienced or seen or already have an affection for. Like, yeah. It could diminish it, but, like, I guess, like, for me, it is just a very chronological thing. It's just, if I already thought something about it, that's probably not going to change just because the artist ended up turning crazy.
Yeah, well, like, Frank Miller could come out tomorrow and be like, you know, Hitler had some good ideas. And it's like, wow, woo.
Trying a little hard there.
Yikes. But, like, he didn't do anything bad to me. So it's like, okay, well, he's got some weird ideas going on, but yikes, he's welcome to it. Where, like, with Rob Liefeld, he's never really said anything crazy publicly that I'm aware of. But from my own personal interactions with him, I walked away thinking, like, this guy's kind of full of himself and a bit of a douche. Like, that, at least, you know, carries more weight because that was a personal interaction. Yeah. And, like, he wasn't trying to be a dick to me on purpose. I just think he's kind of a dick.
Yeah. You know, because in general, I like the idea that, you know, I think we should be separating the art from the artist in most cases. Although,
yeah.
Like, if Frank Miller did come out and go, like, Hitler was right, anything he wrote from that point onwards, I'd be looking at with a much different eye.
Well, if he flat out said Hitler was right. But if he was like, you know, I'm not saying what he did was cool. And, like, I don't have a personal beef with the Jews. But, you know, the Autobahn's a good idea.
And we have, like, the best San Diego Comic-Con panel ever that's going on right now. There's people just getting up just like, what?
I just asked him if he thinks Batman is the coolest or the best.
Well, you know, Hitler had some ideas.
So, look, I'm still saying he had what was coming to him.
Yeah, suicide.
I'm not saying he was a good person. But, you know, Blitzkrieg was a valid military tactic. Worked pretty well for a while.
I'm just imagining the panel. Because that's the thing, is all this would have to be happening just at a panel being live-streamed.
Hey, you know, Mussolini made the trains run on time.
All the staff members just, like, hushed, like, running back and forth behind him. Like, whoever he's on the panel with just slowly moving their chair away from him.
Someone's, like, ripping wires out of plugs, hoping that they're... hoping the next one is the microphone. None of these are connected to the microphone. How do I make the microphone not amplify his voice anymore?
And mass graves are an excellent psychological tactic, is all I'm saying. Look, oh man, Frank Miller. Look,
was Idi Amin really that bad of a guy? I mean, have you ever met Pol Pot? Maybe he was just misunderstood.
This is the same. This Frank Miller's from the same reality where Bumblebee is a Bumblebee character in Beast Wars. It's not a Bumblebee. It's not the real Frank Miller. this is a disclaimer. Frank Miller did not do any of these things. We're making it up.
Absolutely.
Hypothetical. Just in case. But, I will say, there is a point where I actually have entirely not been able to separate the art from the artist. That's in the case of Tom Cruise. I don't like Tom Cruise as a person, it's entirely affected every time I've ever seen him in any movie. I've had a lot of trouble dealing with movies I like that he's in, because I don't like the idea that I like a performance he's giving, because I think he's kind of a scumbag.
Yeah.
So
that's a great example. Like, in Tropic Thunder, he is amazing in Tropic Thunder. And as I'm enjoying his performance in Tropic Thunder, like a little voice in the back of my head is like, oh, that's still Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that's me in the Minority Report. I legit enjoy the Minority Report. I really wish that Tom Cruise wasn't in it, because it bums me out that I'm enjoying this movie that he's the main character in. I mean, I guess it speaks to the quality of the work he can do in the right scenario. But yeah, that's if I were to give an example where I can't follow my own advice, because you know every human being is a hypocrite at one point or another.
Yep.
And that's where I am. I can't deal with Tom Cruise. I get just that perfect example. Like I feel annoyed when I enjoy his performance because I don't want to. Sometimes I've felt that way about Will Smith as well, when he's in movies. Although that grew over time. I actually really like younger Will Smith. Yeah. Oh, I've never seen The Human Centipede. Someday I need to watch it, because I have talked so much just vitriolic smack on the director, Tom Six, who I think is a legit scumbag and a detriment to the entire filmmaking community. And not because of the content of his film, but more so his intent behind it. And that's where I really haven't followed my own advice, because I am talking trash on him and his films, and I have not even watched them. So, before I pretend like I have never not taken my own advice, there you go, a couple easy examples. Anyway, we should move on to the next question here, because we got one more from G1 Wheeljack, which is on a lighter but still thought-provoking note. Yeah, after we talked about this hopefully will be lighter than us talking about this hypothetical scenario where Frank Miller's in the middle of San Diego Comic-Con talking about the virtues of Hitler.
And every other despot and tyrant in world history.
And all with a dead serious look on his face and that little hat he's wearing. G1 Wheeljack asks, what are your favorite engineering tricks Transformers have done, be it unofficial or official? Is there a trick you'd like to see implemented that has not been done, or at least done well? His favorite aspect of toys are the puzzle play and tactile enjoyment, but he's curious what tickles our fancies. Thanks for your time. Look forward to hearing your thoughts on these questions. I want to say, actually, just slight tangent, I'm so happy that puzzle play not only came out as a term, but has become like a piece of lexicon, because I think it's a really good term. Anyway, my favorite engineering trick is the part where Transformers are a little bit more like Hitler. Seth, what's your favorite engineering trick?
I've always liked a well-implemented automorph. I always think it's fun when you're in the process of transforming a figure, and as you're moving two parts, a third part is doing something on its own. And like when that thing is like the head reveal or something to that effect. Or like with the classics Ironhide, where when you kind of flip the one part around and it changes, it flips up the bit in the chest window to make it look all technology.
Yeah, it like fills the bucket with tech.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like cool, well-done automorph, I think is always fun.
I completely agree. And in fact, I just recently had that moment with one of the new movie toys, Scorn, the red Dinobot. I didn't know he had automorph. I was just twisting a part of him, and as I twisted his waist, like, his entire central torso chunk in between two torso plates just started to rise up, and his head started to rise up, and I was like, oh! And it was perfect. It was perfect. Because even the instructions don't really tell you it's going to happen. So it's kind of like this thing where you're like, whoa, whoa, and stuff starts rising up. And yeah, I love a good automorph. I think automorph is one of the best things that a lot of people like to trash on, actually. But that aside, I also think it's fantastic. It is also one of my favorite engineering tricks.
And I specify well implemented, because you know there has been figures where they advertise automorph and it's like, well, it's kind of automorph ish
or there's the ones where it just doesn't work.
Yeah,
or just stuff kind of goes and then it's flying everywhere and you're like, oh no.
I'm trying to think of another. Well, it's super rad.
Yeah, totally. I think if I was going to name one that wasn't one that Seth had named, it would also be when you move a joint and it reveals detail as though the joint were actually moving. Yeah. Like if you raise a shoulder and wiring is exposed underneath, or you bend a knee and like the plating moves, or even it just reveals like hydraulic piston sculpting on what would otherwise be a smooth and concealed part of a disc joint.
Uh-huh.
I like that too. And I think it's been done pretty well in a lot of places. Well, Seth, I, your answer almost can work for the second half of this thing, where you know, what's the thing you'd like to see implemented that's not been done well a couple times? Mm-hmm. Is there anything that's been done, just never done well, that you'd like to see given another go?
Never done well.
I got an easy one, because I would like to see this return, is Armada Optimus Prime's trailer.
Yes. Yeah.
Like when that thing started moving while I was transforming the toy, yeah, that was magic. And then yes, I saw how it was moving, and I was like, oh.
That's all. And then it catches on fire.
Yeah, it explodes. It was so magical. Then it got more magic at the end, but kind of dark magic.
Yeah, like, we talked about that a while back.
Yeah.
Where, like, I'd come up with, like, oh, what if there was, like, RF stuff, and, like, as you transformed this, then it affected that, and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, like, that's a great example. Something I don't think was done very well in the past is, I think they got a, like, so with Armada, you had the Minicons, you plug the Minicon on, and that would, like, pop open a weapon or a hidden thing or whatever. And then Energon, they replaced the Minicons with just, like, these little sparky things that you would stick on. And those, I thought that, even though, like, the Minicon was, like, this whole other figure, like, the little Energon crystal things, I thought were good because they were small. And then I think they went way in the wrong direction with the planet keys.
Yeah, because the Energon stars, you could put them on and they'd sometimes at least, like, smooth themselves into the sculpt.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, the force chip planet keys were always just kind of like plonk.
Yeah, this giant disc is now hanging off.
Or when you weren't using it in the figure, like, there was nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
It'd just be sitting there. There's a mountain of those on my bookshelf back in BC. I just piled them all on, because I hated them. I said, here, let's put them all here. It's just a mountain of those things.
Yeah, so, like, that is something that wasn't done well, in my opinion. And I was glad when they stopped doing all that. Plug this thing in to make this happen. Like, I don't want to have to, like, stick something on to make part of the toy's function.
I like it when it's a thing that happens now and then. Not so much when it's a... I think it was interesting to see it attempted as line-wide gimmicks for a couple years, but I'm not sad to see it more of a once-in-a-while thing.
But there could be a way to do it better. It's just when the thing that you're plugging in is so large and intrusive, and then looks weird when it's still attached.
Yeah.
Like, those planet keys look weird when they're stuck on, because now there's this big disc sticking out in sometimes awkward places. That's why I like the little Energon bits better, because at least they were small.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe they could revisit that at some point where, and not have it be like this universal thing. Like, they all use this planet key, they all use this Energon crystal. Like, it could be more character specific.
That's what I mean by a once-in-a-while thing. Like, you know, yeah, just have it as this faction, or even just this little subgroup, or just this character, yeah, has this power.
Like, I'm looking across at my classic Starscream, and I got that third-party upgrade kit that gives him the cape and the crown and stuff. Like, as an example of a character-specific thing, like, let's say a Starscream figure in the future comes with a crown. You stick the crown on his head, and that either makes something pop open or maybe activates a sound that is only affected when you stick the crown on them. Something, yeah, like that. and do more character-specific-y things that way.
Yeah.
And then he's the only one from that line that has a crown that goes on his head to affect the thing. And I mean, like that's... Optimus Prime from that line has a different thing that attaches somewhere else that does something different.
That's what was cool about Animated is, like, some of the figures would have straight up, like, full-on gimmicks, but it would be, like, their character trait, you know, like, their superpower.
Uh-huh.
And it wouldn't be, like, every character, you know, Blitzwing, for instance, he's the only one with the spinning faces. Shockwave is the only one with two robot modes and two vehicle modes. I haven't really got much else to add to this, so I'm going to say thank you for all your questions. Thank you, G1 Wheeljack, for that question. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with some What We Got This Week kind of action on Ep 299. Seth, are you feeling any kind of gravitas? This is the final episode that will be prefaced with the number 200.
No. It's just a number.
No gravitas?
It's fine, no. We don't have to have a party about it.
Well, if I want to have a party about it. It's my party, and I'll cry if I want to. If I want to. Hey yo, it's been brought to my attention that we never actually followed up on this news story, and I kinda wanted to and thought I did, but I had a total episode of scatterbrainedness. So, you know those animated-looking techno-toon titans that Mech Ideas was working on? It was Huffer and Pipes looking all like Mario and Luigi, and it was up on Big Bad Toy Store, and then it kinda just went into hiatus. It's back! They are going to be an exclusive over on Planet Steel Express. That's the direct reseller for Mastermind Creations. It's going to be an exclusive item there. It's available, I think, only for the rest of this month, if I recall correctly.
Cutoff is June 1st.
And maybe a bit longer. Anyway, if you want it, you should order it right away, because they're being made to order. And I got to go order them still, too, because, man, that scatter in my brain is braining all like a scatter. So, I just wanted to follow up on that and go and check them out if you were upset that they got canceled, because now they're there and they're happening one way or another. And hopefully if they happen hard enough, there'll be more Technotune Titans, because I want to see that independent effort continue. Anyway, that's about as borderline close to a commercial as I've come in recording an intermission in a long time, so how can I shock jock this up a little bit? Yo, how about that Warbitron discussion, huh? Oh, it's all crazy. Actually, it looks like a lot of people have forgotten about it already. Oh, well. This is also probably going to be the penultimate intermission to have its own chapter picture. I wonder what I'm going to put in here. Probably something terrible. Something stupid. I don't know. My face. Anyway, that's long enough. Let's get back to the podcast, because, Seth Buzzard and me have things to talk about. Unless I bump this to episode 300, in which case... myself and Florida Man and Aaron have things to talk about.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Hello.
I'm home.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Smile, honey.
Because I'm home. Gee, it's great to be Top Gun, but it's nothing like the fun that I get when I say Heil, honey, I am home.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Smile, honey.
Gee, it's great to be back.
Heil, honey, I'm home.
Oh, no, I'm gonna... All right, so Seth sent me something for an intermission, and I'm not gonna play most of it back there. I'm drawing a line. I'm gonna watch the rest on my own time after we're done recording the big bowl of spaghetti and one hand down the front of my pants.
I like how you threw me under the bus there.
Hey, you know what?
That's just
what
been I do. Like, it's this guy's fault. If you don't like that, it's this guy's fault. Yep. He sent it to me.
Yeah, thanks for sending me that intermission, Seth.
Yeah.
Forcing me to edit it into the podcast. Under threat of gunshot, might I add.
Multiple gunshots.
He's an American.
Multiple guns.
Yeah, every home.
At least three.
Seth, I want to ask you one poignant question.
Okay.
Did you get anything this week?
I did.
What? Let's talk about it.
Okay. On topic or off topic. official or unofficial.
Whoa.
What do you want first?
Oh, that was actually a question. let's go official.
Official. I got Masterpiece Lambor.
Hey.
Now, I just got it. I haven't transformed him yet. I remember all the problems everybody had when he first came out. This is that, like, more recent run.
Well, the red paint and everything.
Yeah. So I did open it up. I gave the car mode a good look-see.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't find any apparent flaws in the paint. So hopefully nothing will come up when I go to transform it for the first time. But yeah, like, I already had red alert. So I know what's up with the mold. So just as long as the paint isn't bad, then yay.
Yeah.
Because, like, all the problems everybody was having kind of warded me away from getting him originally. And then I was kind of holding out hope for a domestic release. Then that seems less and less likely.
Oh, well, you know, the next masterpiece coming out is Prowl.
Yeah.
Writing's on the wall.
And then when there was a new offering for it, I went, well, this could be my last chance. And hopefully they learned all their lessons and I won't have any problems with it. So that's when I went for it. So, but at least, you know, my first look over, I don't see any problems. So yeah. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's fine.
I wish you the best with your your Lambor. I hope you have a good experience.
Me too. Unofficial figures.
Whoa.
A fellow on the Twitter. You had tweeted that I was like a small timer or whatever you said if I didn't get Cogwheel. Is that his unofficial
official name? Yeah, Cogwheel. I believe my words where you wouldn't be a true fan.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm more a Huffer fan than a Gear fan. I like Gears too.
Yeah.
Because he's also like crabby and grump. But I didn't really want to get the both of them. Even though like Trash Talk like has a crazy face and a drink tray, which is great. And I thought, you know, maybe if I got Trash Talk and he has a drink tray, he could hang out with my masterpiece Grimlock and they could both have drink trays. But a dude on Twitter, at the Bearded Stranger.
Yep.
He was like, hey, I'm getting the 2-pack. I don't really want a Cogwheel. I'm just in it for Trash Talk. I will totally cut you a deal. And then we discussed it, and he cut me a good deal. Like half the cost of the set, and that included the shipping. And it ended up including both guns. Like, I figured, he'd send me one gun, but he was like, I don't need the guns. Like, that's not Swerve to me. Swerve is the drink tray, not the guns.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent me both guns, so I was like, wow, okay, that's
awesome. Like,
more of a bonus than I was expecting. But, yay. And then, like, he's sort of mentioned, like, you know, after I got them both in hand, it was kind of hard to...
I was gonna say, I just saw on Twitter, he said, Mirai Baby was saying, oh man, what if I don't want Cogwheel? And I told her, like, you will have no problem selling Cogwheel. And immediately after that, Ken was like, well, you know, Bearded Stranger might be up for a Cogwheel. And he was like, yes, I am.
Yeah, and then, like, when he expressed that, I was like, yeah, I know the feeling. Because Ichabod and I had gone in to split up that Tomorrow Queen set. And so the Tomorrow Queens come here. Now I get a chance to see them all. And then I was like, I kind of want the whole set. But he's already paid for them. And it would be really lame to be like, you know what? Here's your money back.
Yeah, eat it, fool.
I changed my mind. And now you have no option to get them except for paying ridiculously more aftermarket.
Who has the leverage, sucker?
And then, like, I just had to convince myself, like, you don't really need 5 Tomorrow Queens.
That's what happened after I bought one member of the Finger Gang. when I was like, all right, this is the start. I can collect them all. Then I got the one. I played with them. I was like, you know what? Part of me wants the whole finger gang, but then part of me only wants it so I have the whole gang.
Yeah. So I totally understand this dude's seller's remorse, but it's too late. So yeah, he's rad. Just awesome articulation. So many good poses this little dude could get into.
Yeah.
He's really great. The face sculpt, I think, is a little... looking. Yeah. Looks like he's just sort of like going... the second, like, original toy accurate face is kind of rad, too.
That's the one I have on mine. I just think it looks cooler.
So, does the head just pop off, or do you have to loosen the screw?
So... I've seen it reported. Because
I tried to pop the head off.
Yeah.
And it wasn't coming off. And then I went, I don't want to force this off.
So everyone who has forced it off said it went fine, but I just loosened the screw. I didn't even have to pull the screw out all the way. Just had to loosen the tension.
Yeah.
And then it came off really easy.
Yeah. I got to find my little tiny screwdrivers.
What I really like
is when I tried to pop it off, and it was like, okay, I'm putting more force than I'm comfortable with on this, and it hasn't popped off.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm supposed to loosen the screw. I'm not going to force the issue.
I really like the faceplate head on him because I think it really... This is why I think Cogwheel's actually borderline the cooler toy of the two, because Trash Talk is always smiling. And so that affects a lot of his poses. Especially when you have the faceplate on Cogwheel, I feel like he's a lot more of an open slate. Like, I can put him in more poses that feel like they're appropriate to what he looks like he's doing.
Uh-huh.
Whereas Trash Talk is looking like he's always having a good time. So sometimes, like, if I have him in a badass pose, like dual-wielding giant guns and he's opening fire, sometimes it looks okay, but sometimes I'm like, would you stop smiling? Oh, nope, okay.
Well... One little issue that I had was when I popped off the chest, shoulder, head assembly.
Yeah.
To mess with that stuff. On his back, the, like, engine hood front bumper pieces came off.
That's happened to me, too.
And it took a while to figure out how to get them back into the right place.
So, now that you've been through that...
That whole process... bummed me out that it was a process at all.
Well, now that you've been through that, the thing that I found really helpful as a result of going through that is when I want to pose the head with a little bit more finesse,
uh-huh.
It's easier to just slide the hood block out from behind his head rather than pull the whole chest off. And it just makes it easier for me to put... Like, I've found it easier to do head posability stuff that way.
Yeah. I could see how that would be the case. I would just rather those pieces not come off so easily.
I wish it was on a hinge so I could just fold it back and then pose the head.
Yeah. That's like my one quibble with the figure. Like, I love how the shoulders work.
Yeah.
To get so much range of motion in so many different directions.
Well, and if you ever get to take a look at a Trash Talk up close, or at least, like, take a look at a good photo ref, the way that their vehicle modes assemble the cockpit area differently is really uh-huh. clever. Because it's not just, like, change this windshield for this windshield, but it's, like, what one thing uses with a joint, the other one uses for another thing, and, like, the little ball-jointed, like, the hood on Cogwheels on a ball joint. And on Trash Talk, that ball joint is used for a thing inside the cockpit rather than a straight-up hood piece. So there's, like, a bigger cockpit window. It's just kind of cool. Like, it's they do a few more little things than just reshelling the vehicle mode.
Yeah. Well, I'm not that into Cogwheel's space car vehicle mode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's fine for what it is. But... I don't know. I just... never really think about Gears' Cybertronian vehicle mode.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, whatever. I just think the robot mode is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
It's really great. And he's so small.
Yeah.
And like, just the detail and how well done all the articulation is on such a little figure is a triumph.
I think the value proposition of these guys being around about 30-something each is really good for how much engineering they have.
Yeah.
No, like
they're good.
Like there are SH Figure Arts toys that cost this much because, and it's mostly because of the way that things like the shoulders work. Like all those multiple pieces everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Triumph!
No, I support it. I thank Bearded Stranger again for being the hookup.
Yeah.
I also apologize to the Bearded Stranger for taking away his cogwheel.
Yeah, you jerk. He was so happy when he saw it.
He was like, I'm making the deal. And then he's like, oh.
This was no deal. This was a trap.
I trapped myself. I'm my own worst enemy.
I was hoisted on my own petard.
On my own Picard.
Number one. Oh, I'm glad you got it. I felt like it's a toy you needed to get.
Yeah. And it's way better than that cruddy Gears, fake Gears from that cruddy company that I guess doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
I just wish it was to scale with one of my huffers.
Well, just, you know, play it that Gears is really short.
And that's why he's mad.
All these stupid tall people.
These short people are just crabby like that.
Yep.
They're fine around each other. It's just, you know, you get someone of average height or taller in there, and then they get all meh.
You get them around some normals, and it gets bad.
Trolling short people.
Oh, dear.
Huh, maybe for the intermission, you should have had Randy Newman's Short People song.
That song sometimes makes me smirk, but I always feel terrible when I smirk at that song.
Well, I used to work with this guy that's even... So I'm 6'2", thereabout. It depends on how good my posture is that day.
Yeah.
Some days I don't feel like I have good posture, and I'm a little shorter.
But, 2 feet shorter, in fact.
So I used to work with this guy that was at least 3 or 4 inches on me. He was a very tall man. And he loved that Randy Newman song. Oh, he loved it. And he didn't like it ironically. Like, he didn't like it for the irony that the song was. He legitimately, like, or he thought it was literally making fun of short people. And I was like, you know, that song isn't literal. It was all current, it is to me.
I hate short people.
I'm like, all right, priorities. I'm like, well, at least you're not a racist. You're just worried about people's height.
And he's like, let me tell you all about Hitler.
You know that Hitler guy.
All right.
He had an amazing sense of style.
Those
uniforms were fantastic.
So you cogwheeled.
Yeah. That's all my on-topic stuff for this episode.
All right.
I'll be back in episode 301 with nothing.
Oh.
Well, hopefully not.
Yeah. We'll see what happens once we cross that Rubicon.
Well, last weekend, we go into Toys R Us. And the Transformers section is desolate. Like, lots of empty pegs. And I think they're just making space for the movie junk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping some generations sneak in along with it. Like, ride the wake in.
Yeah, like surfers.
Yeah. And so we'll see.
Well, speaking of movie junk.
Movie junk.
So in Canada,
go to your YouTube channel and just watch the videos there. And blah, blah,
blah, blah. Yep. Off topic. No, yeah, talk a little bit.
They broke street date in Canada because Canada's like whatever. Eh?
Yeah. Apparently, it's been corroborated, as far as I can understand, that yes, there actually were some very angry memos from head office Walmart going out saying, "What are you doing? Stop doing that." But
you need to relax, eh?
Yeah, pretty much. They're like, whatever. So I got to the Lux. I think I talked about Bumblebee last episode. I know it was in the off topic section, and I kind of interrupted everybody.
I didn't hear it.
I haven't heard it yet. That's right, you haven't. It's still in production.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm not worried about it. I mean, it's not like I'm mad. I'm not mad.
Where is it?
Why are you getting defensive?
Hitler.
No one's attacking you.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about the two Dinobot deluxes, Scorn and Slug. Because there are people who don't like video reviews. And as a result, that means that they have to hear my opinion in audio form. As an audio review, unless they don't like podcasts, in which case they don't know I exist. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Slug. I've discovered from the comment section on the video that a lot of people are pretty mad that he's not called Slag. I've seen comments.
There's probably never going to be a Slag figure again. So
no, I mean it's been identified as some pretty horrendous British slang. If we aren't going to get Spastic, we are not getting Slag.
And, you know.
Okay. And I don't care if we get Slag or not. Like.
Well, Spastic has some unpleasant roots, regardless of American or English, because it all stems from the same thing.
Yeah.
Slag comes from, like, the impurities that are separated out when you melt down a metal. Now, if the British are going to go making that a naughty word, also, like, a naughty word, because, as far as I know, slag still means the impurities that are separated out when you smelt a metal.
Unless you're in Britain.
Now, does it not ever mean the impurity?
Well,
in England, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm not an.
Does it only mean a woman of like loose moralities?
Well, I'm not from Britain, but I think you're pretty much right that in Britain they don't use the word slag for anything other than an insulting derogatory. Well,
that's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of.
Now, I have no way of confirming this. This is mostly my theory as a Canadian, but you know we have the Queen on our $20 bill, so I'm pretty much a British person. And I'm pretty sure that most British people don't know what the word slag means outside of prostitutes.
Well, so that's their problem. They wrecked the word. They took a perfectly good word that means nothing to do with anybody. And now they're wrecking it for the rest of us.
Yep. What did
we fight a revolution for?
I'm going to corroborate
what
this.
What was
when
the
I,
point of any of it?
I'm going to
for
encounter
nothing, England.
Some British people on Sunday over Skype. I'll corroborate this.
What kind of British people?
Well, one of them is from Wales.
Oh, God.
And the other one, I think, is from Northern Scotland.
Northern Scotland.
He's got the Northerner accent.
Isn't all of Scotland like the north part?
I don't know. It's all really part of New Zealand anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they got that identity thing. Yeah. But I'll double check.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, I know.
At least it's not those moon-based goons.
No, I would never. Yeah.
Never again.
Last time I was not in the same room. Something we left out in post. Anyway, Scorn and Slug. Slug. Aside from the fact that a lot of people want him to be called Slag.
Yeah, well, get over it. It's not going to happen.
He's a pretty cool toy. And in all photography, he looks like he should be a mess of things all banging against each other. But the dimensions
like
of the toy... Whoa.
Feet like a slag.
The dimensions of the toy are very specific, such that all his posability is actually pretty open and free, at least in my opinion. And I also really like that he has a straight-up Stechhelm knight helmet. And a lot of people don't like that.
Was that German?
That's the proper name for it. It's also known as the Frogmouth helm. A lot of jousters use it. So I think Slug is a pretty good toy. The worst thing about him is that the way he stores his swords in Triceratops mode are that they stick sideways out of either side of his stomach. So that he just literally has swords sticking sideways off of his body. And that looks a little bit dumb.
Well, that's a good way to get through a crowded room.
Oh yeah, and he's played as a berserker in his bio. So I figure he just runs down the street wiping out cars on either side of him.
All right.
His giant sword sticking off his side. I think he's a pretty cool toy. But the other Dinobot in Wave 1, the red one, Scorn, is fantastic. I think it's a legitimately good toy, regardless of the movie stigma. It's just a really good Dinobot. The Spinosaurus mode is all crazy spiky, like a robot dinosaur. The robot mode is fantastic. The transformation is really good. And I'd highly recommend Scorn to anybody. Scorn is my superstar of this first wave of movie toys. He's really good. I've seen a lot of complaints saying his head is too simple. And I don't know what to say about that.
Never go too simple.
I think his head is fine myself, but I'm not going to argue with people's tastes. But yeah, Scorn is a toy worth buying. When wave one hits, when your street dates happen, you can walk by a whole lot of it, but I would heartily recommend, if you have any kind of enjoyment of a beast former or a Dinobot, that you pick up Scorn.
Heartily or wholeheartedly?
Just heartily. I don't like to go wholeheartedly into many things.
Okay.
But he's very good. He's very, very good. I don't want to ramble on too much about it. Just want to say he's very good.
Just a second ago, he was two varies. Now he's only one very? Well, is he very, very good, or is he just very good?
I haven't quite finalized my published score yet, because you know how Metacritic is about that stuff?
Uh-huh.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
But he's very, very, very good.
Whoa, three varies?
Oof. It's a roller coaster ride when I'm talking about toys, man. That was a loop-de-loop. Go buy Scorn.
He is an unspecified amount of varies.
Yeah, it's X-vary. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just sitting here staring at Scorn. I want to keep saying go buy Scorn, so I'm going to stop. I got some other stuff in the mail, but I haven't messed with it really yet.
Scorn seems like a bad name for a good guy.
I kind of like the name Scorn because, yeah, it's just mean. Like, there's nothing about him that looks heroic, except that maybe he's red, and that's, you know, a more heroic color in some cartoons. Also, here's another thing that I love. A lot of people are like, I can't believe Michael Bay has these rainbow-colored Dinobots. If you look at the art for any of these guys in the movie, they're all just monotone gray in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's no color on them whatsoever. That's gonna suck in the movie when you have this sea of solid monotone Dinobots all, like, moving like a giant blubbery metal mass. And so whenever people start attributing the colors to Michael Bay, I'm like, no, he's on your side, sir. He agrees with you. He drained the color out of them. You have nothing to worry about. I think it sucks that they're not bright. Like, the thing that I love about these Dinobots is they all have, like, one big bright key color. So they look like a kind of, like, deranged Power Ranger team who look completely unheroic, just like they're going to wreck stuff. It's part of the draw for me. I think it kind of sucks that they're all gray, and sometimes darker gray in the movie. But maybe this is all misinformation campaign. They're actually going to be bright pink in the movie. I also got a couple of things that were on sale in Canada. One of them I got because between the sale and a gift card and T16 Skyhop, I just went for it. It's called, we've all been calling it, the Upsize Cyberverse Predaking. the Voyager toys that are very much like Cyberverse Commanders of Optimus Prime and Predaking from Beast Hunters. I picked up the Predaking and the Optimus Prime because they were on sale and I had a gift card. The Optimus Prime is way better than he looks in package because his shoulders are completely half-transformed in package and make him look like a broken toy. Unfortunately, he's also the weakest of the two because he does not have the ability to look left or right, nor does he have a waist joint, and that when you don't have either of those, I've discovered over time, you have neither a neck swivel nor a waist swivel, then the range of posability as far as emotiveness and scene setting is completely dead, because no matter how you pose them, they're staring straight forward. But he has the qualities that make Predaking great, and Predaking has a neck joint, so he's even better. Which is that they are stuffed full of springless ratchet joints that are really, really well done. And that's two reallys. And it means that these things are sturdy as hell, and also they are gigantic. For your money's worth, they're not bad. As far as materials, as far as oomph. And so the Optimus, basically, the Optimus will not change your mind. And also, the green on Optimus is highly unflattering, especially because some of his internal parts use it for, as far as I can tell, no reason, which is incredibly distracting. I've seen some fan repaints that where they picked one up and just repainted all the green stuff silver. Looks 100 times better. The green was dumb.
Are they not bad, or are they really, really not bad? Or just really not bad?
Well, they're kind of really not bad.
Okay.
So I'm going to say, let's set Optimus aside and kind of forget about him. He's big, and I like that for that kind of Optimus, the way he looks, but...
Okay, let's set aside Optimus and then continue talking about him.
Yeah, let's set aside Optimus for a second here and just say the Optimus has a pretty good head sculpt. and he's got big wheels in his shoulders, and I like that. But none of you, if you're listening to this... If you're an adult or an older collector or one who posts on the internet and you already think he looks dumb, nothing's going to change your mind. Now, I'm going to tell you all about why Predaking is great. In a world where we didn't have all this...
In a world where we didn't have all this
pre-built stigma about the upscaled Cyberverse thing, if that wasn't a buzz phrase attached to these toys, if that Predaking just came out, I think a lot more people would be all over it. And I found a lot of people who bought it were very pleasantly surprised, myself included. I am almost... I got to pull out the original Voyager Predaking to have another go at him, but I almost want to say that if this new Predaking Voyager had been cast in black plastic rather than smoky clear plastic for a lot of his parts, he would be the superior Predaking toy, hands down, no questions asked. As it is, he is still really good. He's got an enormous wingspan. I think he just looks really evocative of the character. And I am really considering painting some of his smoke gray stuff black just to suit him more to the screen appearance. It's a very fun toy. It's not very complicated, but it's pretty simple. But it does a decent transformation as long as you are totally into the idea of the whole tail being a sword. And the only real bummer about the dragon mode is that the mouth doesn't open on the dragon head. It's not quite as clever as the Wave 1 Voyager, but it's still, I think, a pretty solid transformation. And just all of them ratchet joints, and all the posability on him, and all the ways that he is completely kind of not the Cyberverse toy, make him, I think, super worth $20. Like, $20 for that Predaking is, as far as I'm concerned, a good deal. If you get the chance and you think Predaking is cool, you should pick it up. Don't take the plunge on the Optimus unless you have an affinity for kind of kiddie-looking, big, blocky toys. There's nothing about that Optimus that's going to change your mind. But that Predaking, well worth it, in my opinion. And also, I don't know if any of these are actually easy to find at all in the States. This might all be aimed at Canadians and Europeans, but we'll see. So that's my Transformer stuff. Hey, Seth.
Hey.
What do you think about ratchet joints?
I think they're all right.
What if you had a whole toy just full of them? Just full of them.
Might be too many.
Does this sound like too many? Oh. That's every joint. Yes. Oh. Yeah, click for me, Predaking. Anyway, off topic section. Seth Buzzard.
Hi.
Did you get anything that was not a Transformer or Transformer alike?
I got a couple.
Oh.
Couple. Not a lot, just a couple.
All right.
Do you want imported or domestic purchase?
Is this a real question?
Yes.
Then I want to hear about domestic.
Domestic.
Keep it in America.
Made in America, but not actually.
What?
What? Hey, so I'm in Toys R Us.
Hey.
And I haven't been following Marvel toy news that closely. I'm looking for the rest of these Captain America figures so I could build my Mandroid. Also, as we were talking about, like, these, some of these 6-inch figures they're doing lately, best 6-inch figures Hasbro's ever produced, possibly any not high-end collector-grade Japanese 6-inch figures I've ever seen.
How many reallys would you put on that?
All of them.
Oh.
So, there's still surprises out there for me. Products appear, and I go, I didn't know they were doing this. And that was the case. So there's a Toys R Us exclusive box set. 5 figures.
I didn't know they were doing that.
All new X-Men.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh, so you did know. So you're a fibber.
Yep.
What else did you know, Mr. Vangelis? Where were you the night of the 3rd?
Let me tell you all about this next X-Men movie and Kitty Pryde's huge role in it.
Don't get me started. Anyway, so All New X-Men is a comic book.
Yeah.
Where they know how to do the X-Men right. I've read a bunch of it. I'm not current on All New X-Men. Like, I went to the beginning. And I got like 10, 12 episodes deep, I think. Issues, not episodes, issues deep. Got them on Comicology. It's an interesting concept. Like, Cyclops is like an inch away from just being a full-on villain. The Beast doesn't know what to do. He gets this crazy idea. I'm going to go back in time. I'm going to grab the younger versions of us when Scott was still an idealistic and not a jerk. I'm going to bring them forward in time. I'm going to stick teenage Cyclops and adult Cyclops' dumb face and snap him out of all this nonsense. And those are the only X-Men. They're actually the original X-Men, still as teenagers. So this is a box set of the original 5 X-Men in their blue and yellow costumes. And I just see it. I'm like, I think I need to have this. I like this a lot. I very much like all of what I'm seeing here. There are some problems with the paint on the figures where there's like little spots of yellow where they painted the blue parts on their torsos. It looks like it was probably cast in yellow and then they painted it blue. And then where like some of the sculpting is deep, the blue didn't kind of get all the way in there. But mm-hmm. Like there's a yellow dots sort of scattered around there. Their torsos. It was a little bit of a bummer. And then, like, if I wanted to get all quibbly nitpickety about it, like, this is supposed to be them when they were teenagers. And, like, Cyclops and Angel are, like, super muscle-bound for teenagers.
Listen, the Danger Room is a great place.
Yeah, they got a great workout.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know where Cyclops got that nickname, Slim, because he ain't that slim. He's pretty bulked up. But, you know, all that aside. The original X-Men in original colors, I was all into it. So it is a pricey set. And I hemmed and hawed about it for a while. But my girlfriend did, you know, the right thing. And prodded me into it. Just like, if you want it, you should just get it. Because you might never see it again. I'm like, well, you know, Toys R Us exclusives have a way of, like, piling up and hanging around for, like, 3 years. And she gave me just enough nudges into the, okay, fine. Okay, fine.
You want me to buy this? I'll buy two.
Yeah, I'll just get all three of them. But they had three boxes there. I, like, inspected through, like, the big plastic window.
Oh, that would blow my mind trying to do that for 3 5-packs. Like, what if I see one good Cyclops in one, but then, like, a good Beast in another with a bad Cyclops?
Well, the first thing I looked for was I looked at everybody's eyes. Everybody whose eyes you could see, I was looking for anybody with, like, the wonky eye. And one of the three sets, everybody's eyes were fine. And then I started looking for other flaws. And then went, well, you know, there's a little overspray on this one that isn't on this set. But this set, like, Angel is, like, crazy googly-eyed. And but on this set, Jean Grey just has, like, one lazy eye. And I ended up sticking with the set that had the best eyes. And, yeah, I think the set's cool. And I have a Toy Biz Iceman, 6-inch Iceman. This Iceman's way better. Just a much better sculpt. Looks cool.
What did the set run in the States?
Like 90 bucks.
That's, yeah. I saw it at Toys R Us over here, and the price tag kind of made me go like, wait, what?
Yeah. At 90 bucks, I was like, ugh. I'm rounding up. It was like $89.99.
Oh, that's a different story. That's under 90 bucks.
And Angel has, like, this kind of crazy, like, smirky face.
Hey!
Like, looking all cocky and stuff. Which I don't know really fits all-new X-Men Angel's character. At least, I don't know, maybe he gets cocky. But at least as far as up as I read, like, all the other X-Men are like, well, we're here in the future now, and this is the problem. We got to fix the problem because that's what the X-Men do. We fix the problems. And Angel's always like, we're not supposed to be here. This is nuts. We got to go back to our own time. We got to go back where we belong. This is ridiculous. We got to go. And everybody else says, no, we're staying. And he's like, we've got to go. We don't belong here. So to give him like smirky, cocky face doesn't really seem to fit, but it's all right. It's nothing to get upset about. So that is my domestic purchase.
All right. Well, then I'm going to say, why don't we talk about imports?
Imports. I got a Figma figure.
You got a Figma?
I got a Figma.
What is this podcast? The girl figure from Japan podcast?
Well, it's not a girl figure.
What?
For starters, let me just put you in check and suggest that you cool your jets.
You said it was a Figma.
It is a Figma. It is a Figma of a Western character.
What?
Maybe the most Western character.
Popeye maybe. The Sailor Man?
No. Oh. A one Mr. Indiana Jones. Perhaps you've heard of him.
Oh, I know this figure. He has a really accurate head sculpt.
Yes, so I got Figma Indiana Jones.
That hat.
With a removable hat that you don't want to remove. Because he doesn't just have a head underneath. He's got a weird peg.
Yep. Head. That's just his brain.
And the hat comes off a little too easy than I would like it to, but whatever. Yeah, he's great. Figmas are almost always really good. I kind of wish he had like a second face or something. I don't know.
His face looks really weird.
It's not like Harrison Ford's doing a lot of mugging in those movies, but maybe like, I'm a scared of snakes face. Would have been cool. Why didn't he come with some snakes? He should have come with some snakes.
Well, that's what you get for ordering your Figma.
Comes with all these hands. He comes with a coiled up whip that hooks onto his belt. He comes with like a big splayed out whip for whipping fools.
All right.
Comes with a revolver pistol.
Blam, blam.
He comes with the golden idol thing from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Bling,
he comes
bling.
With a crazy rock thing that I'm pretty sure is from Temple of Doom. I've only seen Temple of Doom once back when it was new. It's the only Indiana Jones movie that I've seen only once. I'm not counting Crystal Skull. Classic Indiana Jones. And he comes with the Holy Grail from Last Crusade. So you get something from all the movies.
A little something for the whole family.
Yeah. And I'm just assuming that the little rock thing is from Temple of Doom. It should be. It better be. Because I don't really remember it from the other two movies. And it's, that'd be lame if they skip Temple of Doom.
It's the iconic little rock from Crystal Skull.
Well, it's like oblong, and it has like three lines carved in it. And it's like reddish.
I don't know my Indiana Jones very well. I need to sit down and marathon those.
It's been I've only seen Temple of Doom the once when it first came out.
I've only seen two of the movies.
Which ones?
Neither one was Crystal Skull.
Okay.
That's all I remember. It was a long time ago. A really long time ago.
Was there an Asian kid in it?
Possibly. Like I only know... I know more about Indiana Jones from pop culture than from when I saw the movies. It's been that long ago.
Oh.
I need to sit down and watch them again.
They're fun.
Yeah.
But like with Crystal Skull... Okay, so like the first three movies... It's all kind of like supernaturally kind of stuff. So like the first and the third movies are like biblical things. So he's after the Holy Grail. That's some New Testament stuff. He's after the Ark of the Covenant. That's some Old Testament stuff. Yeah. And then in the middle, he's like dealing with like some crazy dude that's doing magic and pulling hearts out of people. So like everything is sort of like supernatural. All these things that he's after. Then you get the Crystal Skull, and now the timelines move forward. Now it's the 1950s. Now, pop culture in the 50s, like, science fiction was more popular. And I think that's what they were going for. They were shifting it to more like this 1950-ish sci-fi kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But now there's aliens and spaceships. And it just doesn't feel like Indiana Jones. Because Indiana Jones was so, like, mystical, magical. And now it's high-tech. And, I don't know. It was like, ugh.
I never saw Crystal Skull. So All I know is there's a bit with a fridge. Because pop culture told me about it.
Yeah. That was kind of silly.
Yeah.
And the monkeys.
I don't even know about the... CG monkeys. That's another thing I've heard.
Shia LaBeouf swinging on vines to the trees with about a billion CG monkeys.
Shia LaBorg.
Yeah. That was maybe the biggest mistake, was putting that plagiarist. That plagiarist. Here's a new... artist that you can't separate the art from the art from, or the artist from the art from.
is he your Tom Cruise?
Yeah, no. Tom Cruise is my Tom Cruise.
Oh.
I can't think of any other famous plagiarists. But he's that. No.
My hands are in the air.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Shia LaBeouf, whatever. Whatever.
That dude. More over. Like Shia the Beef.
I was going to say more like Shia the whatever. I don't even know him. Who is he? I don't even know.
You can go meet him. Go to his art exhibit.
Where he just like photocopied some Van Gogh's. What's his art exhibit?
It's the one where he's just like sitting in a room and you get to go and yell at him or poke him or whatever. He just sits there with a bag on his head.
So he didn't create art. He's just like, oh, it's conceptual. It's like that sort of artist.
So I saw a vlog from some jackass artist. I live in Hollywood and have a YouTube channel kind of page. And I basically ended up siding with Cook Sucks. Yeah. And I basically ended up siding with Shia LaBeouf in that video.
Okay.
The guy who was talking to him was so irritating. So unbelievably irritating. And I was like, no, you know what? Shia LaBeouf wins this argument. I like his approach of staring at you and not saying anything while you're like, hello? Mr. LaBeouf? Hello? For like 10 minutes. It's terrible.
Alright. I don't know. I don't even know what's going on now. So he does actually sit in a room with a bag on his head?
Yep.
And then, like, you could pay to go look at him sitting in a room with a bag on his head?
I don't even know if you had to pay. I think it was an open exhibit. You just had to line up because there's only one person at a time.
Oh. Well, at least it's one person at a time, because now my next problem with this was going to be that you would then be in a room full of, like, those phony art snobs.
Oh, no.
Who are then, like looking at him while you're looking at him, and then talking about, like just pulling out buzzwords and finding some fake symbolisms and stuff in what he's doing.
No, he was just sitting in a room. You had to line up. One at a time, you go in. There was a table of objects. You could take one with you. There's a G1 Optimus Prime toy, something else. And then he's sitting in the next room with a bag on his head. And if you wanted, you could take the bag off his head. And he would not react. There's a lot of pictures of people who just reach forward and pull the bag off his head. And he's just sitting there staring at them. And I actually thought it was neat. I don't know.
I just hear that and it sounds pretentious.
Oh, yeah. It was super pretentious, but
ridiculous
on a performance level. It's
phony ass fake art. Like, that's the sort of thing that somebody who isn't an artist and then goes, I'm going to be an artist and I'm just going to sit in a room with a bag on my head because that seems like something artsy people do. Or I'm going to paint this room blue and put a yellow phone in the middle. And then that's art. It's like, well, is it? Or are you imitating this loose idea of something you think is installation style art? Or are you a phony?
I think you're a phony. Legit superpowers to some degree, minor superpowers, somewhat useless superpowers, to be able to hold a straight face through random people coming in.
Or did he just take a fistful of Quaaludes?
Either way. To stay upright as well the entire time. Maintain a certain position. Something very yoga about it.
I don't know. Why are we even talking this much about Shia LaBeouf?
I don't remember anymore. I forgot how we got here.
He's a has-been. He's all washed up.
I can't remember anymore.
That dude was everywhere. For a few years, that dude was everywhere.
It's 2:14 a.m. for me to remember anymore.
Now you could take a bag off his head and wave an Optimus Prime at him.
Damn, I should have gone and done that. So yeah.
It sounds like it would be awkward.
It entirely was.
You leave the bag on his head or not, it's like, so what? This is just like being awkward?
It looked like, yeah. Like there was very much.
Is just that the art?
I don't know.
You study in awkwardness with Shia LaBeouf.
You can mess around with it. I don't mind open interpretation art. I mean, as long as it's like, if it's being done in a way, especially in a way that's not monetizing, then I feel a lot better about it.
At least he ain't that Mr. Brainwash guy. Shaking my fist in the air.
I can't remember who that is.
Did you watch Exit Through the Gift Shop?
No.
You should check out Exit Through the Gift Shop.
I have had that on a list somewhere. Yeah. On my computer. Ever since we talked about it, didn't we?
Maybe. The last time I asked if you've seen that.
Yeah, and I was like, no. And I added it to my list. Anyway, we got to talk about Shia LaBeouf because of Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Your boy there. That's whose fault it is.
That's a good action toy. And, you know, he's 6 inches. Hangs out with my Star Wars Black Label 6-inch Han Solo. And they go around shooting Greedos together. You know, Indiana Jones shot first, too. That swordsman.
Yeah.
That swordsman guy who was all like, I'm a swordsman in Egypt. Look at my sword note. And he just like, bang. America.
Shouldn't bring a sword to a gunfight.
Well, first swordsman was like, you shouldn't bring a whip to a sword fight. And he was like, I didn't. I brought a gun. Bang. I win.
All right.
Throw me to weep.
That was my space bar. Did you get any other imports, or did you only import a Harrison Ford?
Did you think
about how weird it is you imported a Harrison Ford from Japan?
Mm-hmm.
He's an American. Yeah, that's what I thought. I only got one off-topic thing.
Well, I just got a couple toothpicks, and then I made my own Calista Flockhart.
Wow.
Go with my Harrison Ford.
Wow. Wow. Sick.
Sick burn.
Sick burn?
Nailed. It's about time someone took Calista Flockhart down a peg.
Especially on this Transformers podcast.
Yeah, I'm the one to do it.
American hero.
Oh, just one little side tangenty thing. Titanfall.
Oh, yes.
So when we were discussing the horrors of matchmaking mm-hmm. and always ending up on the wrong side of matchmaking, I finally ended up on the right side of matchmaking.
Did it feel good or guilty?
It felt great.
All right.
I was like, finally. I can like kind of coast and not stress. And that gave me an excuse to experiment with other I only have like the little Fast Titan unlocked.
Yeah, it's Strider.
I haven't played it all this last week. So I was able to like, I'm going to load up Strider and I'm going to put like that like laser sniper rifle cannon thing on it. And I really like that thing. Like the sniper rifle type gun for your Titan.
Is that the charge up rifle?
Yeah.
The rail gun?
Yeah. I liked it. I was doing pretty good with it. Having a good time. I was smoking dudes. Anyway, that's my Titanfall update.
All right. My Titanfall update is I'm almost at level 50.
I'm like level 15 or something at the most. I don't know.
I'm considering prestiging.
Well, you should. That's what you're supposed to do.
I know. I've never been in that position before in one of these games.
I prestiged twice in Modern Warfare. Two or three times. At least twice. Maybe I did three times. I don't remember. And I remember thinking, like, do I want a prestige or do I want to keep all my stuff? And then I thought, I want a prestige. At least once. Just so I can have. And then I get all the stuff back and I'm like, well, there's nothing to do. I have to prestige. There's nothing more to earn. I've earned all the stuff.
I gotta throw a quick little story at that. Random Factor on Twitter got patched into Gen 6 in Titanfall.
I don't know.
That's like Prestige 6.
Oh.
Because prestiging in this game, you know, going to your next generation clone, involves like not just hitting 50, but you have to start doing like certain challenges as well. And for a while, Gen 6's challenge was this thing where you had to like kill something like 50 pilots while they were ejecting.
Yikes.
And then Respawn said, we realized that this is actually kind of a ludicrous thing to ask of people, so we're going to lower it down to 5. But if you did kill like 50, you're going to get a special thing later on. So what that meant is immediately everyone ran, everyone who was in a position to, just ground, power leveled that challenge to try to get, you know, the current or the previous version. So,
and then Respawn was like, oh, according to our metrics, it's not that hard because so many people have done it recently. Never mind.
So basically, a random factor on Twitter was in a position not quite ready yet to level up, and then the patch happened, and he got patched into Gen 6, and I think that's kind of ludicrous.
Oh. Yeah, because, like in Modern Warfare, you hit the level cap, and then there's a button you could click to prestige.
Oh, no. In Titanfall, you gotta also finish a small list of challenges.
Yeah, but then when you finish that list of challenges, it just happens automatically?
Oh, no, there's a button you push. There's a button you push, but in his words... Except
for when there's a patch.
In his words, he was patched into that gen. I don't know if he actually pushed a button and just didn't tell anybody.
I don't know. Or, well, like, when the patch happened, there could have been some little glitch that pressed the button for him when he wasn't looking.
He has an underscore in his Twitter name.
Okay. That's fine.
It's important.
Why? So people could, like, what are you trying to send people after him or something?
I'm just saying, you know, sometimes people have underscores in their usernames online, and I don't know if, you know, people feel the same way about that I feel about that, but...
I don't feel anything about it.
I bet you don't.
What are you feeling?
You know what? That's my business. You're not the NSA.
Why are you hating on Random Factor just because he has an underscore?
You can't take my rights away from me.
I can, as an American citizen that pays taxes. I could do all kinds of stuff to foreigners.
Listen, I'm appealing to my Fifth Amendment rights.
You don't get those.
I do. Hey. Guess what?
What?
I got GLaDOS in the mail this week.
Wow, that's weird.
I sent you a picture of the drop. It was a small drop.
Has it... I mean, it's been so long since you've gotten any GLaDOS. Like, at least 2 or 3 days.
I know. And this drop was important to me because that R-Gen Mark 11 is the most badass thing to ever be GLaDOSed. I ordered like 4 of them because I didn't even remember the drop happened until after the purchase limits were lifted.
Oh, please continue on with this. I just remembered I did get some more off-topic stuff, but I'm going to let you finish.
All right, Kanye buzzer.
We'll come back around for like the big finish. Okay, so which one is badass that you got?
R-Gen.
R-Gen Mark
11.
11. Oh, yeah.
He's made out of a metallic black PVC.
Wow, that's cool.
It's gorgeous. So I have a little army of R-Gen parts, and I got a whole bunch of metallic black build parts as well. And then I bought a bunch. The folks over at O'Neill threw in a few extras. So I got hella build parts. I want to make a giant GLaDOS man out of all my parts. I also got a bunch of the Ultra Silver Axis joints because I missed those last drop, and they got rerun for this one. And yeah, it was nice. Nice, pleasant box of metallic black PVC. Smelled real good.
I kind of like the look of that Dark Traveler dude.
The Dark Traveler is pretty sweet, and that's the first one with paint all over him.
He kind of looks like... Like those, like, bomb disposal dudes with the big, huge, like, padded-y chest thing.
Yeah.
With the big collar that sticks up over the bunch of their face.
He's got a lot of...
that sort of thing.
He's got a lot of parts to his head, too. Like, the collar is a separate piece. The top of his head can be pulled off. The belly of his vest is a separate piece you can get rid of or swivel around. Dark Traveler's a really good figure for, like, the base Traveler design. It's like an upgrade on every sense. And they gave you, like, these were cool, like, these were, like, cool packages as well. Because it's, like, you got that figure, then you got, like, a bunch of extra heads, and then you got, like, a straight-up, like, head and torso and pelvis for another figure as well. Because those all ran off the same mold, so you just turned them into, like, little, like, bundles. So you could kind of customize the way the Dark Traveler looks if you want to mess around with them. That was neat. It was a good drop. I liked it a lot. I got my R-Gen. I still need R-Gen Mark 10. That's that figure done in silver. it irks me that I missed it. So I'm going to track that down. That's all my off topic.
Gotta get yourself unirked.
I know.
De-irkify.
I've been irked. Seth Buzzard, you said you had something else.
Yeah, I got two other things.
Oh!
Not toys. Oh. Watches.
Watches?
I got two more watches.
Watches?
So here's what happened. So I'm bopping around the Amazon. And once I bought so many damn freaking watches, Amazon's always like, hey man, we heard you like watches. Check out all these watches.
Big Bad Toy Store emailing you? We saw you bought some watches.
I mean, it might as well be. I think Joel was like looking at Jeff Bezos and was just like, I gotta be more like that dude.
You see Jeff Bezos bought Comixology?
Did he?
Yeah, or Amazon bought Comixology.
It kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Fold that into the whole Kindle thing.
Well, and they're becoming a subsidiary, so as far as I could tell, the whole Comixology team, founders and all, are coming along with the name.
Well, that always happens whenever one internet company buys another one.
Yeah.
The original people always come along, and like usually there's some sort of contractual thing in the sale, and then they hang around for that required amount of time, and then they go, okay, now I'm going to take the money and split. Like, I stayed the required amount of time. Some people stay around longer, but usually they're just there until time's up. So I'm going to take my $10 billion. Except for Amazon doesn't throw money around like that anymore. No. They're not Facebook.
I think they're just leveling a bigger and bigger mortar cannon at Diamond Distributing.
Is that who they're after, is Diamond? Or are they just, I don't think
who they're after.
We want to expand our digital reading to comics.
I think just in their back pocket, they've got a much larger gun to shoot Diamond with if they ever decide to wipe Diamond off the map. It's a big if.
I don't really see what they would get out of wiping out Diamond.
Glory.
Just two.
Fully masculine glory.
Looks like we could take them in a fight.
Well, let's do it.
Let's pick a fight.
Let's show them.
We take them in a fight.
Diamond is this hobbling, decrepit thing.
They were just walking down to the corner to get a quart of milk.
Yep.
And Amazon's like, oh, picking a fight.
Hey, Diamond! Right?
Oh, no! Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
Hopefully Comixology doesn't get wrecked now or something. But
I hope it does. It seems like it's being done in a way where they're not going to meddle with it too much yet. I have to also ask you a question. Does this watch have a thing that shows you if it's day or night?
Yeah.
That looks kind of awesome.
Right. So I end up perusing watches, and I see this thing, and I'm like, oh, it has a day-night indicator. Now, the description said moon phase, and this was from an affiliate seller. This isn't directly from Amazon. And I didn't realize that this seller was actually in China, and then it took a while for it to actually get here, but that's fine. Whatever. So I was like, oh, moon phases. That's cool. Because I have seen watch with a moon phase indicator, and it tells you like what, as the name might suggest, it tells you what phase the moon is.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy. But this is just a day night. It doesn't tell you phase of the moon. But it was like really cheap. It was like $25. I'm like, wow, this looks pretty nice for a $25 watch. Like, I associate that with like some junky Timex. Like, not even a nice Timex, but like a cruddy Timex at that price. So I scroll down because I notice in reviews, there's a couple 5-star reviews. I'm like, let's see what this is about. Like, why do these people like this watch so much? And there's one of the reviews is really long. and very detailed. And the guy's like, look, I'm a watch collector. I got this thing on a lark. First of all, it's not a phase of the moon. It's just day-night indicator. So forget that. Forgetting that, like, I got my hands on one of these things. I kind of took it apart to see what these were. He goes, this is like a $150 watch. Like, this is an incredible value. Like, the quartz movement inside is amazing. It's a automatic self-winding watch. It has an actual leather wristband. He goes, I don't know why this thing is so cheap. Like, this is a fantastic value. Don't let the low price fool you. This is amazing. And I went, well, you know what? For $25, I think it looks awesome. I'll take the chance in case this is like a shill review. And I'm not an expert, so I can't verify some of the things this guy claimed, but everything works and it looks cool. So that was inexpensive. Then last weekend, my girlfriend and I were in Macy's, and she was looking for a watch to get as a gift for a friend. Friend's birthday was coming up, so she's looking at watches, and then I'm looking at watches, and then they have this table of watches 50% off. And I've been like thinking, like, okay, so I got some of these like kind of more high-techy watches. Like, they're all analog. They're not digital watches. They all have hands pointing at numbers. But a lot of them are sort of, you know, techy with like windows so you could see all the gears and stuff inside, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then I thought it'd be nice to have like a more kind of old fashioned-y looking watch, like with some Roman numerals, a little more subdued kind of vibe. And they just happen to have this Fossil watch on the 50% off table. So I want to say the original price on the tag was $115. Something like that. I think it was $115. And I went, oh, you know, this looks pretty good. And I like show my girlfriend. I'm like, what do you think of this one? She goes, oh, I think that looks really nice. I'm like, oh, it's 50% off. And I just got this one from China yesterday. I probably shouldn't. She said, I really like the colors, though. I'm like, all right, you pushed me enough. Just like with those X-Men figures.
I'll buy three!
Well, they only have one, so. Oh. And then...
Show me three!
So I take it to the counter, and the lady's like, all right, I'll get the box for you. And then she's like, this isn't a bad deal, right? 50% off a Fossil watch? I'm like, no, Fossil watches are pretty nice. And she's like, yeah, I get my husband Fossil watches because they also... You know, they're durable, and he can't stop breaking his damn watches. I'm like, all right, now I don't know why we're still talking.
Just and another thing. Stuff.
Yeah, so a while back, I bought that display case that has spots for 10 watches. The box is full. I got to stop this watch business. Until something really, really special comes along, I got to be done buying watches for a while. I filled a box with 10. So I just stopped putting my cheap digital Timex in there. I have 11 watches right now. Two of them I got as gifts. No, three. Three of them I got as gifts. So I've bought 8 watches. I gotta stop. One of them I got out of pawn shop for $12, but I gotta stop. I like watches. Spoiler. Don't want to blow anybody's minds. Watches are cool. That's it.
All right. Done.
Finish.
It's a good place to stop because I am having trouble keeping my eyes open.
Because you're bored of watches.
And because it's late.
All right. Maybe you want to do the wrap up then.
Oh, yeah, that's my responsibility. Well, thank you all for tuning in.
I could do it. You might not like the result, but I could do it.
No, I'm keeping my hands on the steering wheel.
Okay.
That's the best thing to do when you're really tired.
That's what I hear.
Thank you all for tuning in. This episode 299 of WTF at TFW. We're about to hit 300, but that's not all that special because that's not an anniversary number. Anniversary numbers are multiples of 52.
So our new 52.
Oh, God. Our next anniversary is going to be... Give me a second.
Whenever that is.
312.
When we go into the new 52 at 312. Or actually, 313 is actually the beginning of a new 52. But anyway, when we get to our new 52, everything will be basically the same. But we'll just have different clothes.
Yep.
Slightly different clothes.
And there'll be lots more angst and rape.
Yeah. And Aaron's origin story will be slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically the same.
And we killed off Omegas! Except it wasn't him. It was the Martian Manhunter.
But also, now he's a girl.
And the Martian Manhunter.
Right. Girl Martian Manhunter. Martian Lady Hunter.
What? Okay, I gotta... Good night, everybody.
Add all that up, I know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.